Blog Talk Radio.
Believe everything the mainstream media tells you? We don't. We cover what mainstream doesn't. Welcome to Beyond the Mainstream with Donnie C., Texas Bob, and Cinnamon. Tin hat not required. Call us with your opinion at 347-324-3752.
All right. I'm waiting for Mr. Daniel to come in, and he should be here in a few minutes. He wanted to do a UFO show, and I said, let's do it if you want to do it. So if you like UFOs and like to talk about them, believe in them, or don't believe in them, give us a call at 347-324-3752. I'll get it right. You think after all these years I would get that right. So I'm going to play this until he gets here. It's a stunning Arctic UFO sighting. And from the History Channel. And
Lou Elizondo is on his way to interview a former U.S. Air Force officer willing to speak about his UFO sighting for the first time. The alleged sighting took place at an Air Force base with nuclear weapons and a long history of strange encounters.
My name is Daniel Gibson. I'm a retired Air Force major.
Major Gibson, thank you very much for taking your time to come and speak with us here today. I'd like to start by asking you, what inspired you to come here today and why now?
In the fall of 1995, I was stationed at Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana, right outside of Great Falls. Malmstrom is primarily a ICBM missile base.
Since the 1960s, Malmstrom Air Force Base has housed hundreds of intercontinental ballistic missiles with nuclear warheads capable of destroying entire cities. During the Cold War, the base was a key part of America's nuclear arsenal that provided a protective arc across the nation's northern tier.
Launch trajectories from the Soviet Union come over the poles across Alaska and Canada. A ring of bases were established across the northern United States to house both ICBMs and strategic bombers. And they were the bedrock of our strategic deterrence and our security and safety.
Maintain alert under warplane Bravo.
In the fall of 1995, Gibson was on board a KC-135 as it conducted mid-air refueling for a fleet of B-1B strategic heavy bombers, which can carry nuclear payloads anywhere in the world.
Once the refueling was done, we started our trip back to Malmstrom. I moved forward to the flight deck to enjoy the aurora borealis above us.
Flight paths for these refueling missions often included views of the aurora borealis, or northern lights.
All of a sudden, there was just this very bright light. The aircraft commander and the co-pilot, they saw it first. Time kind of froze for us, but it was probably a good minute that it was there. This light, we watched it all the way down into the aurora where it stopped. And you could actually see the aurora flowing around it, just as if you would see a bow wave going around the front of a boat. The longer the object stayed in the aurora, the brighter the object got. And then it just shot straight up and was gone.
So some people would say, you're obviously confused. You saw a planet or a star.
We had no doubt in our mind that it was not a star or a planet, because it entered our atmosphere. It was in the aurora borealis itself, and then it shot straight back up. I've seen the International Space Station. It moves at a very fast clip. This was moving 10 times plus. We all had the same reaction. It was almost a stunned silence. None of us had seen anything like that before.
Some folks will say, well, you know, it could be a Russian first booster rocket coming in on reentry.
Well, initially, we thought it was a shooting star, but then we saw the speed at which it was descending, and then it stopped.
According to Gibson's account, the object was at 3 of the 5 observables. Instantaneous acceleration, the ability to accelerate instantly from a standstill. hypersonic velocity, speeds of 3,700 miles per hour or more, and transmedium travel, the ability to move through air, water, and the vacuum of space.
If you're going from an atmospheric environment to potentially a vacuum environment.
I don't know of any object in our inventory that has the capability to stop mid-reentry, stay in position, and then once it's done, accelerate back out of the atmosphere. So G-forces would kill a human being.
I would say so.
To Elizondo, Major Gibson's sighting is part of a pattern. While working with ATIP, the Pentagon's Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, Elizondo says investigators researched multiple UFO sightings around northern tier nuclear bases during the Cold War. These sightings were part of a recently leaked 500-page government-funded report detailing dozens of alleged Cold War UFO encounters. Investigative journalist Tim McMillan has studied the report.
There's a chart that showed the number of UFO sightings within proximity to different nuclear facilities that house weapon systems. There's a distinct correlation that these objects appear to be encroaching upon airspace of the northern tier. If you look at just those numbers alone, it's alarming.
Michigan was one.
One of the most remarkable Cold War sightings also occurred near Malmstrom Air Force Base, 28 years before Gibson's experience. In 1967, several Air Force personnel reported seeing a glowing red object flying over the base. The object appeared to move rapidly and was able to make sharp 90-degree turns, stop abruptly, and reverse course, much like the movements described by Major Gibson nearly 30 years later.
Both the UFOs had this incredible ability to take off and basically go from a very low velocity, almost a complete hover, to an incredible speed in the instant of time.
Okay, Daniel, I did hear you, but I couldn't find a darn tape I'm playing. It's only got a minute and about.
It's
seven.
Good.
Yeah, it's
good stuff.
UFO sighting in the Arctic. The Arctic. So
man.
On the History Channel. So here we go, finishing it.
And there is one more detail that concerns Elizondo and his team. Reportedly, moments after the sighting, 10 Malmstrom's nuclear warheads were suddenly, inexplicably, turned off.
These weapon systems had been shut offline, so they couldn't be fired. If these were Russian aircraft, if these were someone else's aircraft, the idea that something could possess a technology that could fly within proximity and take these systems offline, that's a terrifying capability.
Is this some sort of U.S. secret technology or perhaps some sort of adversarial secret weapon system or platform? There is a definitive link to nuclear technology, whether on the battle space or in time of peace. That, I think, is becoming more and more clear. The question is, why? What is the connection?
He quit. Matter of fact, he quit the government, and the reason he quit is because they wouldn't come clean with the American people. That's why he quit.
I mean,
that's pretty good.
Think about how many, Donnie, have quit.
Yeah.
Because of the bull, man.
Yep.
It's right there in their face every day. They have to work around it, which would be hard to do, knowing the truth.
And there's a lot of things he said he can't talk about because it's top secret.
God.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I believe it all. I mean, I do now.
I do too. I really do. And there's too many things in the sky for us not to believe that. There's too many planets
Yes, it is.
For us to think we're the only planets out there, this is kind of crazy, I think.
Oh, me too. What I think a lot of people's problems are, too, with our knowledge of physics and of space trajectory, all that stuff, Donnie, we are probably the lowest on the totem pole, universe-wide, as far as knowledge on physics and stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree.
Because they've kept the information from us. Any extraterrestrials that have came to Earth to try to teach us, there's been government cover-ups, there's been, you know, just lies, just bold-faced lies. They've kept us dumbed down on this information.
Yeah.
When it's universally known, you know, they've been, I think, aliens have been coming here for years, ever since the Earth has been created.
Well, somebody from
Maybe.
The Pentagon, somebody from
yeah.
the Pentagon said that the American people couldn't, they wouldn't be able to handle it. That's why they're keeping it a secret.
And so they keep keeping it a secret. See,
right.
That don't make no sense right there to me.
No, that doesn't make a bit of sense.
They're like, you're dumb, you can't handle it, so we're going to continue the lie.
I know.
And you're going to be even more dumb.
That's true. There's somebody said...
Save money on fuel Whoa. With this simple trick.
Oh, that's a bullshit trick. Hold on here. There's somebody sent me this a long time ago when we were talking about it, and I don't remember who it was, but it's a nurse who said I don't remember, I guess it's been that long ago.
Yeah.
I think it's a guy. Yeah, it is. I believe it's a guy that said he's seen alien autopsies in Roswell.
God, and there you have it.
Called Roswell, the final verdict, but it's only 9 minutes, but I don't know if I'll play it all. But
hey,
we'll
that's fine if you do.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Roswell Army Airfield.
Intelligence officer Jesse Marcel returns to Roswell. He's determined to get to the truth of what happened.
Now, Jesse Marcel's the one that said had a lie. He's the one holding up the, they say it's a foil, you know, it looks foiled. And that's what
yeah.
they're saying, it's a weather balloon. He's the one on the ground, on the floor, looking up at the camera next to the general holding up the, isn't he the Marcel? Because he was there and he was sworn to secrecy and he, maybe it wasn't him. But they took this old guy back out where the crash site was, and that's Marcel. I don't know what this is. I haven't even watched it.
Jesse Marcel is in a bizarre situation. He is the one that went to the crash site. He's the one who got his hands on the debris and realized immediately this was something different.
Well, there was him. I'm not totally forgetful.
Possibly, almost probably, something extraterrestrial. And yet, here he is, the fall guy.
Adding insult to injury, when Marcel was in Texas, Captain Sheridan Cabot, his junior ranking officer, filed a report supporting the weather balloon story.
Marcel tries to push back and says, hey, that's not what happened. I want you to rewrite that. Tell the true story.
To which Cabot responds, if you don't like it, take it up with Washington.
It's clear. Major Marcel's hands are tied. But as his son recalls, the military's position is one he refused to agree with.
There's still a feeling like there's something very unusual about this. It was not something commonplace, like say, whether woman or reactor.
Marcells, to me, are at the center of everything with the Roswell story. And any indication we can get to substantiate the claims that have been made by the Marcells just further adds to the credible, reliable testimony we have related to this incident.
Your father didn't think it was a weather balloon or a radar target? Never did.
Jesse Marcell Jr.'s claim about his father is predicted to be true.
It's great to hear that this came back as true, because it's just another thing in a consistent line of testimony from Jesse Marcell.
Did he ever suggest we weren't supposed to talk about it? Is there any kind of discussion about what was said at the base and just not talk about this anymore in those first few days?
I don't recall that exactly, but I think the implication is there. It's over with. Don't say anything more about it.
3 months after the Roswell crash, Marcell is transferred to Washington.
I love it!
Uh-oh, he loves it. Oh, my goodness.
God.
Yeah. She's seen me nude.
Again.
Jesse Marcell is given
I know
a
it.
promotion. He is assigned to be one of the intelligence specialists studying what the Soviets are doing in relation to development of their own nuclear program. He may be the fall guy, but he's somebody that they need in the system and on side.
Jesse is a strict military man. He is a career soldier, and he has to go by what he is told and what his superiors tell him to do.
Luckily, for those searching for the truth, there is one vital witness unbound to a military program.
This is June 10th, 1947.
Roswell mortician Glenn Dennis visited the base, seeing strange activity. He's returning to Hangar 84 because he's concerned for a nurse friend who works in the hospital.
Glenn Dennis's friend invited him to come back to the base to meet him for lunch. She said she had something very important that she wanted to tell him.
This story.
And it wasn't she was pregnant.
Jaw-dropping claim. The Roswell cover-up.
She looked like she had one of those. She said, you won't leave.
I ain't the baby daddy.
I've never seen a big situation. I said, well, look, you're a nurse. And I said, anytime you're in this business, you're going to see a lot of things. I said, you may as well get used to it. She said, no, just sit where it is.
Then, the words that come out of her mouth next leave Dennis absolutely stunned.
She said, this is something that no one's ever said.
Forty-eight hours after being removed from Hangar 84, Glenn Dennis returns to the airfield. He's arrived to speak with a friend, a nurse in the hangar's hospital wing. It's a conversation Dennis recalls with a shocking revelation conspiracy theorists have been trying to corroborate for almost 30 years.
There wasn't anyone around us because we kind of had a table up on the side of the office of ourselves. She was hoping that it appears.
Glenn has been outspoken for decades about what he has seen. And, of course, his testimony has been dismissed and discredited by the experts.
She said, you have to give me a sacred oath. She will not ever mention my name or not. She said, you can get me in a lot of trouble. But I'm going to tell you, you don't know where you got this. I said, what do you mean by sacred oath? She said, I mean like cutting your arm off. That's what she said.
Glenn asks the nurse, he said, what was going on? What did you see? But he said she was afraid to verbalize anything. She's looking around and worried somebody's going to hear what she's telling him.
What happened? She was going to this other room to pick up some supplies. This is where the two doctors that were in there supposedly doing a preliminary autopsy on these bodies. The doctor said, "You're not going anywhere. We have to have some help." She said she never smelled anything so horrible in her life. Said it was the most gruesome, most horrible sight that she'd ever seen. The smell was, it was almost devastating.
Glenn's additional testimony from the nurse is that there was a terrible stench coming from the body, and they were getting sick. They were going into the hallway and then wow. returning to complete their duties, complete their work.
The testimony of this nurse is of great import because we have somebody who is witness to an actual autopsy. So that means we have fatalities of a crash and descriptions of beings that are clearly not human. The government is in possession of extraterrestrial beings.
She said, "This is something that no one's ever seen."
The alien autopsy at Roswell has always been one of the most contentious parts of the Roswell story. The reason for many skeptics to dismiss all of Glenn Dennis's testimony as untrue.
Of all the many, many witnesses with stories to tell about Roswell, his have been perhaps the ones that have been disbelieved most. If that testimony is absolutely truthful, then we are in new territory here. We are in this situation now where arguably the most extreme part of this whole tale is validated.
She said, "This is something that no one's ever seen." The two doctors that were in there supposedly doing a preliminary autopsy on these bodies, she said there was three bodies. Two of them were very mangled.
Can this testimony be trusted?
Two of them were very mangled.
According to the AI, Glenn Dennis is telling the truth.
This is groundbreaking. It's going to take me a while to get my head around this. It's fascinating.
She said there was three bodies.
It's very difficult to find the words to react to this right now. We've got a validated testimony that there was an alien autopsy that took place, that there were bodies examined.
This is the first time and by far the most supported case with evidence that this actually occurred.
There you go. It cuts it off pretty quick, doesn't it? Don't know
of
why.
Of course it occurred.
Yeah. Marcel, I was, there's the, a video of his family talking about it and his father, how afraid he was.
Yeah.
He went and talked for decades until, you know, he figured he was too old for them to do anything. He went out. He took some investigators out to the site, actually.
Showed them the site. Told them the truth.
Yeah, told them this is where it happened, and they figured it skidded. It didn't just crash down into the sand. They figured it kind of, and they were looking for pieces, and they found some stuff, but they had to ship it off, and I never did see if they found anything.
Was that,
or not.
Was that where they found those wires?
I think
that part
so.
Of that?
Yeah, well, they found a metal, or they used a metal detector, but there was something else they found, and
it had several layers on it or something like that.
Something that wasn't from our country, put it that way.
Yeah.
It was something that they've never seen before. And I don't know if that's what you're talking about, but I know which one I believe I do know the one you're talking about with the wires. Yeah.
I mean, that's the ones that did come back, the stuff, like you said, ain't made in the USA.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
yeah.
These are precious metals that are on our periodic elemental chart, but they're not from here, you know?
Right. There's a newscast, It's everything on the past the Mississippi River starts with a K when it comes to radio stations and television stations. And everything on the east side of the Mississippi is, starts with a W.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. This is KRQE TV. And I don't know exactly where that's at, but they've got a 2-minute thing, a new photos of alleged Roswell alien. And this isn't old because she looks modern, very modern.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. A photo has surfaced that a lot of people are claiming is proof that the Roswell UFO incident was real. It's a picture of an alien type creature, and they claim it was taken in 1947 in Roswell. Who better to check it out than our Roswell reporter, Cheyenne Cope. She hit the UFO museum to see what people there think. Cheyenne.
Well, Kim, the picture definitely has people talking at the UFO museum. It's one of the first things you hear when you mention Roswell. Aliens. And people come from all over the country to see them.
I'm a firm believer in aliens.
Well, this week, a never-before-seen picture was released that some people believe is more proof that a UFO did crash here back in 1947.
According to Kodak, yes, it is real. It hasn't been doctored. It hadn't been touched. It is from that time period.
And this is a guy that works at the Roswell Museum.
From the photographers that were in this area in 1947.
The photo was revealed at a conference in Mexico City on Tuesday. Someone claimed they found it in a box in an attic in Sedona, Arizona. Along with pictures of Clark Gable, Bing Crosby, and Dwight Eisenhower. While a lot of people are calling it just another hoax, it's definitely fueling the debate again over what's known as the Roswell UFO incident. Mark Briscoe is the executive director of the UFO Museum. He says he can't say for sure if the slide is real, but that if it is, it could be a big deal.
I guess, okay, it'd be a game changer. I mean, either you're a believer or you're not, or you're a skeptic.
So what did people visiting the museum today think?
I'm skeptical.
Of course, it's a lot more fun to believe it could have been aliens. I can't say I believe one way or the other, but I'm definitely open-minded about it.
I think it would be really, silly not to believe that there's something out there other than us.
Now, the museum director did also tell us that the slide will be down here in Roswell for the UFO Festival in July. Kim, back to you.
Okay, thanks, Cheyenne. Now, aliens and UFOs are, of course, big business in Roswell. About 175,000 people visit the UFO Museum every year.
You know, I went through Roswell.
Really?
I was on a bus, though, and where we stopped in Roswell, they had a picture of an alien on it. It was a diner gas station, like a truck stop, and that's where the bus stopped for everybody to get off to eat. And it was nothing. You go inside, it was nothing but UFO things, your aliens.
I went to that meteor crater thing.
Oh, were you
wherever
in Roswell?
Wherever it is, after. I guess, yeah.
Oh, I didn't go anywhere but that. I was on a bus, so I couldn't. But that's cool. What'd you see?
Hell, I mean, a big asshole for one thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, There's no doubt. This ain't no damn sand dune or nothing built by an excavator. You could totally tell a big rock came out of nowhere, hit our, or, you know, it could have been a ship. We don't know.
Right. Right. Wow.
That could have been where the, because I've seen that video you're talking about, that it was animated, but it showed the plane coming, the spaceship coming down and skidding.
Mm-hmm.
Like the bottom hit and maybe knocked off some
yeah.
aluminum or whatever, and then it flew on probably a good mile, Donnie.
Yeah, they're saying it fast as it was going, they estimated it probably went a couple of miles before and leaving parts everywhere, you know, leaving parts of this.
Exactly.
Thing. Yeah.
There ain't no telling what's in that desert.
Yeah, well, if I was down there and I was retired, I would be out there with my damn, I got a metal detector, I'd be out there scanning.
Yeah, hell yeah. We walked to the bottom of that meteor crater, and it was just a funny feeling. And
oh, really?
It was almost like there was no sound down in there. You would think it'd be like a big echo. You could yell, you know, ah, rah, rah.
Right.
And it was just like muted, muffed. And
wow.
So we trekked back out of that big hole.
Well,
I mean,
that's wild. Yeah, well, at least you went there and checked some of this stuff out. That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
The Apollo 11 had an astronaut, I believe it was Apollo 11, I'll have to look that up, revealed some secrets from the dark side of the moon, if I remember.
Really?
But I don't remember the guy's name. But he didn't step on the moon either. He didn't get on.
Yeah.
I think he was the pilot.
Yeah. Yeah, but he still saw it, though, whatever it was.
I'm looking it up right now. Okay. All right, here we go.
Okay.
Well, go ahead.
Really and truly, I forgot what I was going to say, Donnie.
Okay, I've been there before.
It'll come to me.
Every half hour, I forget.
Amen.
60 minutes.
Here's a question likely to cause arguments at home. What is humankind's greatest achievement? The Age of Enlightenment? Music, perhaps. What about the Great Pyramid of Giza? Well, for many, it doesn't get any more glorious than the day Neil Armstrong stepped foot on the moon. This year marks the 50th anniversary of that remarkable feat of technology and daring. And while the moonwalkers Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin dominate our memories of that event, there's a third astronaut who deserves his place in history. Michael Collins piloted the Apollo 11 command module in lunar orbit while the other two collected moon rocks. And as Sarah Arbour reports, if it wasn't for him, one of our greatest successes would have been a monumental failure.
Hey, Donnie.
Hmm.
Yes. I need 5 minutes. I got to run somewhere real quick. I'm going to leave the phone on. I'm not jumping off, okay? I got to tell you a story about the moon landing.
Okay.
Something I hadn't told you, but I need about 4 minutes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
I'll play
the clip, and I'll be right back. I swear to God.
All right. Okay.
Thank you, brother.
All right.
You're gonna trip about the story.
I can't wait to hear it.
Swing around the globe.
All right. Good.
Times a day in the International Space Station.
And all you have to do is turn yourself and your reference changes.
Just to think it's possible is mind-blowing.
I am working on the NGS cancer trials up here.
It's an extraordinary existence for the astronauts who are working on more than 200 different experiments in space. But they need help back down on Earth.
Copy that. All previous science has been downloaded to ground and you are go.
And it's here in Cologne, West Germany, that Andrea Boyd, a remarkable Aussie engineer, spends her days speaking with them from the European Space Agency's Mission Control.
Yep, that sounds like a plan to us, Alex. Many thanks.
No worries, mate. Yeah, do they love talking to an Aussie?
They do, yeah. I have to say, a couple of the crews have tried to do a bit of an accent back to me, which is funny. Alex, who was just up there, would often put, no worries, mate, at the end of his calls to me. And yeah, he'd also add, good as gold was one of his favourite phrases to say. It was great.
35-year-old Andrea always wanted a career in space. Luckily, in her lifetime, it's something that's been possible. But it wasn't that long ago that space exploration was still the stuff of science fiction.
Astronauts Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and then Mike Collins.
This year is the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11 blasting off to the moon. But in terms of technology, it feels like a millennia has passed. Back in July 1969, there were no such things as mobile phones, home computers, or even the internet.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
So as Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin became the first humans to ever walk on the moon, their extraordinary achievement turned the pair into instant worldwide heroes. But there was a third man on Apollo 11. Michael Collins didn't make headlines for stepping onto the moon, but he was the backbone of the mission.
Did I have the best seat on Apollo 11? No. Was I happy with the seat I did have? Yes, I really was. And to be any small part of that suited me very, very well. And besides, I was their ticket home. They couldn't get home without me.
So you had ultimately the biggest responsibility.
Yes, yes.
Michael is now 88, but age hasn't affected his razor-sharp mind and quick wit.
Sarah's camera.
She doesn't know who she is unless you do that to her. Okay.
We need to remind them constantly, Michael.
Okay.
Michael trained as a fighter pilot, but always dreamt of flying in space. Back then, it was still unknown who would make the best astronauts.
I mean, what sort of people should they be? Who should you select? And all sorts of crazy notions came out of the closets. For example, they said, well, there's no air up there, and mountain climbers are used to a very thin atmosphere, so we maybe ought to get mountain climbers. Other people said, well, it's dangerous. Maybe we ought to pick bullfighters would be good.
Hey there, Bailey and Nick here.
Are you still on the fence about getting your own Glowforge?
Join us live every week to learn everything.
During the lunar landing, while Neil and Buzz were picking up moon rocks, Michael's job was to stay on board the command module orbiting the moon.
Not since Adam has any human known such solitude as Mike Collins is experiencing during the 47 minutes of each lunar revolution when he's behind the moon.
You were orbiting on the far side of the moon in absolute pitch black, complete darkness.
Yeah, the food was terrible, but I enjoyed my time behind the moon. It's a more rugged place and not a very comfortable place.
Columbia, this is Houston, reading you loud and clear, over.
When you circled back to the bright side of the moon, what was Earth like?
Being very close to the moon was very impressive in many ways, but the moon is nothing compared to our home planet. It was it. It was center stage. It was any little thing, blue of the ocean, white of the clouds, little streaks of tan that we call continents. It's about the size of your thumbnail if you hold it out in front.
One of those streaks of tan was Australia.
We paid absolutely no attention whatsoever to Australia for two-thirds of the time. The other one-third of the time, Australia owned us. We needed Australia. You were our guidance. You were part of our flight because you had this gigantic antenna at Parkes.
Little old Australia, down under.
Down under, yes. We needed it badly. They were our source of information. They told us where we were. So Australia went to the moon with us in that regard.
Collector, I run into...
While Neil and Buzz definitely had the starring roles on the moon, Michael Collins had the most important job of all. He was tasked with bringing them safely home. And it all came down to a single tricky maneuver, redocking the lunar module. One wrong decision could have led to disaster.
That was the part of it that I worried the most about was if they didn't get off at all, I couldn't go and rescue them. I went home by myself. If they got off into some strange orbit, not the correct one, then I could come and rescue them sometimes, but not in other times. And I had around my neck on a little rope, a 8x10 notebook, which had inside it 18 different cases, possibilities.
And you have to be prepared for all of them.
Well, as best we could. I confess that of those 18, there were a couple that I thought were so far out they would not really ever happen, and I'm not sure I could have handled them. They were very complicated.
Thankfully, the reconnection was smooth and uneventful. But once back down on Earth, instead of being able to enjoy their hero status, the three astronauts were initially treated like aliens.
We were put into quarantine for 2 weeks. Some of our scientists were worried about the pathogens that we might have brought back from the moon. They possibly would be dangerous to humankind. So their solution to that was to put us inside a hermetically sealed container with a gigantic colony of white mice. The white mice lived. We were okay. White mice died. We were in deep trouble. Of course, I was checking on them. There were too many of them to give names to, but they became my friends. And
the mice survived.
The mice did beautifully. Yes, thank you.
Good. Good for the mice. Daniel will be back in a few minutes.
Three, two, one, zero.
This is Buzz Aldrin. It's going to confirm a UFO sighting.
I saw this illumination that was moving with respect to the stars. We were smart enough to not say, Houston, there's a light out there that's following us. So technically, it becomes an unidentified flying object.
While Neil and Buzz were on the lunar surface, Neil switched to the medical channel and spoke directly with the chief medical officer, saying, they're here, they're parked on the side of the crater, they're watching us.
I spotted a lot of stuff that seemed to not belong on the moon.
And it has very distinct features of a satellite dish. It's got the dish itself, the crater shape. It's got a long spike that appears to come out of the middle. All sorts of stuff that looks exactly like a satellite dish on Earth looks.
There's an interesting picture on the moon that does appear to show something that could be a bridge, maybe a pipe, could be an inching worm.
Well, that sounds like crap. I don't know if it's... And I'm not sounding too hot now at all.
I have no doubt that extraterrestrials could very well have populated or made structures on the far side of the moon.
The reaction of numerous space defense officials was fear and astonishment.
And it would make sense that governments and military agencies might well be quaking in their boots, wondering who built these structures, where are they from, what do they want?
There's one object that reminds people of a cooling tower from a nuclear power plant. Any species that could travel through the stars enough to put a base on the moon wouldn't have to blink before they could take care of us.
The other thing that is inside this lunar module looks like a woman, and this is the alien that they recovered from the ship.
There was a study done by the Brookings Institute in the early 1960s, so before NASA went to the moon. There was sort of this idea that if we were to have any kind of interaction with alien life form or intelligence, that maybe we shouldn't tell the public because the public might not be able to handle it.
As the 45th anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission to the moon dawns, there are many mysteries about man's first lunar landing that remain unsolved. What did the astronauts actually encounter there? And what made NASA stop going back to the moon after Apollo 17? Is there evidence of an alien presence on the moon? And perhaps all around us? These startling photographs recently discovered in NASA's official archive were taken by the Apollo astronauts themselves. The gigantic, artificial-looking structures they document, which have never been shown on television before, seem to defy simple scientific explanation. Could this be a nuclear power plant of some kind? A massive satellite dish?
Yeah.
Trained on Earth? Even an alien fortress? We took the pictures to some of the brightest people of our world, and nobody can say for sure what these structures represent. Military experts tell us that if there is an alien base on the moon, it poses a serious threat to humanity. Tonight, we'll examine all the evidence. We'll attempt to determine if such an alien menace exists.
All right. There you go. That's what you were talking about earlier today, tonight, mm-hmm. is and they showed the pictures up close, too. It's pretty revealing.
Oh, you talking about that one video, man, you looked at?
Yeah, with the
pictures.
Yeah, it looked like buildings. And,
yeah, Donnie.
A satellite dish and
yes.
everything. Yeah. I just played it, and they were talking about it. Did you just get back? Okay, let me just, so you don't get, you know, we can do this because it's our show, and we can do this. All right. Let's see.
I mean, there's no doubt in my mind what we were looking at.
No, let me get back to the part where they were talking about what they found.
These startling photographs recently discovered in NASA's official archive were taken by the Apollo astronauts themselves. The gigantic, artificial-looking structures they document, which have never been shown on television before, seem to defy simple scientific explanation. Could this be a nuclear power plant of some kind? A massive satellite dish trained on Earth? Even an alien fortress? We took the pictures to some of the brightest people of our world, and nobody can say for sure what these structures represent. Military experts tell us that if there is an alien base on the moon, it poses a serious threat to humanity. Tonight, we'll examine all the evidence. We'll attempt to determine if such an alien menace exists.
Well, I tell you, they look like buildings to me.
That's what I'm saying.
They look like buildings to me. And wow.
And that roadway, Donnie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand it ain't a road like ours because the gravity on the moon's different. Those two men said it was sort of probably like a railroad tracks, you know.
Yeah.
A conveyance alley is what they called it.
Well, and you're absolutely right. When it came to these look like they're not sand. These are buildings.
Look how defined.
I mean, E.T. Entertainment Tonight is the one that showed this July 16th, 2014, Buzz Aldrin, that he confirms a UFO sighting. And
Buzz did?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Let's see if we can, but the tape sounded pretty rough, but it's only 3 minutes. We'll play it again.
Right,
Sam?
There you go.
3, 2, 1, 0.
I saw this illumination that was moving with respect to the stars. We were smart enough to not say, Houston, there's a light out there that's following us. So technically, quickly becomes an unidentified flying object.
While Neil and Buzz were on the lunar surface, Neil switched to the medical channel and spoke directly with the chief medical officer, saying, they're here, they're parked on the side of the crater, they're watching us.
I spotted a lot of stuff that seemed to not belong on the moon.
And it has very distinct features of a satellite dish. It's got the dish itself, the crater shape. It's got a long spike that appears to come out of the middle. All sorts of stuff that looks exactly like a satellite dish on Earth looks.
There's an interesting picture on the moon that does appear to show something that could be a bridge, maybe a pipe, could be an inching worm.
I have no doubt that extraterrestrials could very well have populated or made structures on the far side of the moon.
The reaction of numerous space defense officials was pure astonishment.
And it would make sense that governments and military agencies might well be quaking in their boots, wondering who built these structures, where are they from, what do they want.
There's one object that reminds people of a cooling tower from a nuclear power plant. Any species that could travel through the stars enough to put a base on the moon wouldn't have to blink before they could take care of us.
The other thing that is inside this lunar module looks like a woman, and this is the alien that they recovered from the ship. There was a study done by the Brookings Institute in the early 1960s, so before NASA went to the moon, there was sort of this idea that if we were to have any kind of interaction with alien life form or intelligence, that maybe we shouldn't tell the public because the public might not be able to handle it.
Well...
As the 45th anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission to the moon dawns, there are many mysteries about man's first lunar landing that remain unsolved. What did the astronauts actually encounter there? And what made NASA stop going back to the moon after Apollo 17? Is there evidence of an alien presence on the moon? And perhaps all around us?
Okay, they're going to show those pictures again. We'll skip that. But they're thinking maybe Russia beat us. And it's discovered aliens in the deepest lake, in a lake, in the deepest lake in the world. Now, I haven't heard this. I want to know how deep this lake is.
Right.
Because I didn't, you know, it's a lake. That's not the ocean, folks. And this is a commercial, and I'll get rid of that in just about now.
July 2009, the Russian government
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, short and sweet about my story about the landing, our first landing on the moon.
Okay.
We did land.
Okay.
We did. As soon as we landed amongst, aliens. And they told us, don't come back. And it might have been that Apollo 17 that might have been the one that we were told absolutely to not come back.
Well, that's possible. That is possible.
And we haven't been back since.
No, we haven't. We haven't been back since. That's true.
And you're right on about, I don't know if it, probably Russia and Germany. The Germans were the first ones to the moon. They got to meet the extraterrestrials first, the aliens. And I've heard it too. I've heard it on some videos.
Okay.
They got to meet them first. They cut the deals with them. You know, we can have a base on the dark side of the moon. That way nobody from Earth can see it. If y'all will let us, we will help y'all with whatever, you know, really and truly, they're really, they love human meat. I'm just going to be honest, Donnie.
Yeah, you think they eat
yes.
humans?
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes. Yes.
Is that why some of these people are disappearing, you think?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why 8 million, I don't know if it's children or people, it doesn't matter. Worldwide, and 800,000 in the United States disappear every year with no trace at all.
I would imagine if they're younger, it's more tender, you know what I mean? You wouldn't have that gamey.
You're right. That's what they say. You're right.
Oh, man.
You're right.
Oh, okay.
And their glands, you know, all their glands are secreting brand new adrenal oil and all this stuff that it makes the aliens high. It gives them a high.
Oh, okay. Let me get 323 on here and let's see if what he's got to say. 323, you're on.
Oh, boy.
That's Joe.
Another. Gee, another UFO show. Okay, so.
Another.
You had one a couple of weeks ago because of Danny. So this is another one in 2 weeks later.
Hold on. The other one was hijacked. It was hijacked by politics. It was hijacked, and you know it.
Who hijacked?
Because you and Bianchi hijacked it.
I didn't hijack your show.
Oh, you hijacked it with Bianchi. That's all I'm going to say.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you can say whatever you want to, Brother Joe.
I don't remember any of that whatsoever. You have to talk to my lawyer. Bianchi? Tell Donnie what happened.
That's good. Bianchi is not here, thank God.
Oh, he's not?
No.
Hey, you know what?
What's
you
up,
know
buddy?
What? Oh, my God. I fell asleep on Saturday's show.
We noticed.
Okay.
Yeah.
I woke up in time to hear Danny say, "It seems like Joe just doesn't want to talk anymore." And then I heard.
He did say that.
I did say that.
And then,
I know.
Hey, what are you laughing at, Donnie? Donnie says, then Kat says, "Well, Joe's, he's out there looking at the moon. That's what he's doing."
I see it. Yep.
Oh, God.
And then you said, "Yeah, Joe's peculiar." So I'm here. I just woke up in time to hear this now, right?
You're
so I'm saying I'm going to get all you rat bastards. So I took a I downloaded the show. Now here's the point I'm getting at. I downloaded the show. Okay. And I came across the part where, remember when Adrian came in?
Yeah.
Yeah, for a split second.
Right. Do you remember what happened at that particular time? Well, I'll tell you. I mean, if you download the show, it's there.
Hold on.
I said, Adrian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to give you guys a hint. Now, also, Donnie says, when Danny was asking about me, Donnie also said, Joe dropped off and he tried to call back in. But he couldn't make. He didn't make it. So I'm thinking, all right, Donnie, you're fucked up in the head because I'm right here. Okay.
But I didn't have you on. See,
I know. But here's the point I'm getting at. When Adrian came in, did you guys hear me go, Adrian?
I did.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you remember?
I did.
Like Rocky Balboa.
Right. And then.
Yeah.
Also, after Donnie says, Joe dropped off and tried to call back in, I said, Donnie's crazy. I pressed one on my keypad, and then the prompt comes up, and it says, you are now in the host queue, which means I did drop off and call back. Now, I'm going to give you guys a hint.
No, you were.
The guy that said Adrian was not me, but at the same time, it was me.
Say what?
You were.
That's.
Say what?
Go ahead.
Adrian wasn't you, but at the
no,
same
was
time,
me.
It was you.
No, the guy that said Adrian was me, but at the same time, it wasn't me.
You were halfway in between light and dark or something.
What?
Exactly.
I did. You were
I did that while I was asleep, and I dropped off and I called back in.
That's right.
When I was asleep.
Oh, my God.
No.
Yo,
I slept dialed.
That's crazy.
You slept dialed.
I slept dialed. I walked into my sleep without walking. I was in bed, and I dropped off. I don't know why. And then I called back in whilst I was asleep. And I don't remember doing Adrian at all. I hear it on the tape. I said, that sounds like my voice. But I was asleep.
Oh, I laughed my ass off. Yeah.
It was
funny as hell.
I thought it was funny.
I thought you meant to do it. I didn't know you were asleep.
I was asleep.
Nobody thought he was that damn asleep. She said something to you. She said, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
He said something, Joe. I don't know what she said.
No, she didn't say. No, she didn't mention. She didn't say anything. She said, hi, Joe, after I said Adrian. But
Adrian.
That, yeah, I said Adrian. And then Yankee said Adrian and started singing. But then I was not awake. So I'm saying to myself, I'll get you rat bastards. But then I'm saying to myself, God damn it. Shit. I fell asleep and called back in. Oh, God, I need help.
That is crazy.
Well, I can't wait till Saturday night.
Oh,
Daniel. You got to tell your mama on this one. This was too good.
She's going to trip, yeah.
Yeah. Is she going to try to call in tonight?
Yeah, I talked to her before I called earlier, and she said she was at least going to turn it on and listen to us.
Okay.
So she's probably...
Well, tell her I appreciate real much about what you know. Joe, he went out and took a look at the moon.
I will definitely have her on when you tell her that. No, I won't
damn
put her
right.
on until you get done saying what you need to say.
Yeah,
and then I'll put her
no,
on.
That's all I need to say. I know all you guys were kidding around. But the thing is that I am glad I went back and listened to the tape because I never would have downloaded the show because to me it was just like an ordinary show. But I never would have listened to the tape if I didn't hear you guys going, I seem like Joe just don't want to talk no more. And then Donnie's going, well, you know, after Kat says, you know, Joe just went outside to take a look at the moon. And then Donnie goes, well, you know, he's kind of peculiar. So I'm saying I'll find something on these guys. And then I actually found myself doing the sleepwalking. I have walked in my sleep before.
Oh, really?
Dangerous.
Hell yeah, it is.
I've done it twice. So this makes it the third time without walking. But you know what? I'll bet you that. There are thousands of people who do sleepwalk, you know.
True.
Yeah. There's not many that
sleep
dial.
Good call.
I bet you there's a few.
That might be the only one is you.
I'll bet you there's a few that have driven a car.
I believe that. But they never dialed the phone. They never pushed the button.
We don't know that.
I mean, who does that?
Who does that is right. Who in the hell
somebody
does
who
that?
Walks in his sleep. That's who does it.
Some weirdo. Some weirdo. That's crazy.
That's amazing.
So I wanted to let you guys know, when you said all that, I said, oh, shit, they'll get a kick out of hearing me, walking on my sleep while I'm dialing the phone.
Oh my God!
Wait till Saturday night, but I hope your mama calls in because she'll have something to say about it. And I'm sure Cinnamon's here and she's listening somewhere.
Hey, Sin, how are you?
Hey, Sinny.
She might be over the rainbow right now.
Over the dark side of the moon.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, here she comes. It's Benny.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
Sin, how are I?
How are you?
I'm
what?
Hanging in there.
Did you hear about Joe sleep dialing?
Did you hear about that? You heard? Yeah.
I thought that you fall asleep on.
I thought I'd say it on the UFO show. I didn't mean to interrupt the going to the moon and the Germans being there, because this is stuff I didn't know about. So I found that interesting. I didn't know about that.
Well, yep. I've got a tape from the guy that was, he can't, he's the guy that, what the hell was his job? He's what's his goddamn name? You guys know him.
Werner von Braun?
No, he's, he was, God dang it.
Is he the head of the UFO project?
Doctor, no.
Somebody or other?
No.
Okay.
No, he was overseas. I think he was in England. He was over this alien project, just like that El Zino or whatever his goddamn name is. But this guy, he thinks Russia had discovered aliens in the deep sea, a deep lake, the deepest lake in the world.
Okay.
Where is the deepest lake in the world? I don't
in
even
the world, they're on Mars. Oh, yeah?
That says the world. I want to see this. It says UFOs lost evidence, but I want to know what water, what fresh water lake is
I'm
that?
About to look it up.
Well,
I'm gonna call back in on my other line, so prepare for me to fall asleep after about 15 minutes, okay? Because I usually get very relaxed when I'm laying down.
Oh, God. Here he goes with the lay down.
Yeah. All right, I'll be right back.
All right.
That's great, Joe, man.
Joe's a card.
You can't make that shit up.
No. Cinnamon, you can't make it up, baby.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
That's crazy.
Nope. Don't talk too much.
Okay, now one little thing about the moon.
Okay, go ahead I play this. Go ahead.
Because I used to work in the service industry a lot, I am a full believer in the full moon affects people.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
And usually it's the day before, the day of, and the day after a full moon, so it's not just the one night.
Well, I don't know.
St. Patrick's Day is the day before the full moon.
Uh-huh.
Is it really?
Yep. I'm going to be hiding in the house.
Yeah, the witches will be out that night.
Yeah, you know, I never paid attention when I was a manager of a bar. If we had more troubles, it seemed like we had fights every damn night. So much the cops wouldn't even come anymore. So.
Well, you were in that type of place.
I know, but I was the manager. I had to stop that shit.
Was this like Roadhouse or something?
Yeah, well, it was for a while. It was for a while. And, I took two guys' eyeballs out, so put it that way.
God.
Popped them right out, and one laid right on his chin. I said, you move. He's a big boy. So here's the secret. If it's a real big guy, and you've got a distance away from him, Run at him.
Because
he's going to make sure your arms are up when he starts. He's going to catch you. Make sure your arms are up above your head so you can get to his eyes, nose, ear, whatever.
They're
easy to rip, and they bleed like hell. And it looks like you killed the guy or shot the guy in the face with all the blood coming out. So,
damn.
Yeah, and I had to go to court. I had to go to court because the guy sued me or was making a case to get me in jail and everything.
Like assault something.
Yeah,
like
the judge was looking at this big guy and said, this little guy, and he started laughing. Well, I didn't get in any trouble. The guy lost his eye. He did lose the sight of his eye, so that's a shame. I did, but he's going to kill me. As simple as that. And Cinnamon, I'm going to brag on myself a little bit, Toots, because you were a witness to this. We were in I don't know where we were, in a bar somewhere, right? When this girl.
Yeah. Actually, it was the Berenfest.
Oh, was it the Berenfest?
Yep.
I don't even remember. Well, she came up to us, and we were sitting at a table, honey.
Yeah, up by the stage.
Oh, okay. Oh, God. That's when I got
front row.
With the girls in a biker party. No. Anyway, they're good guys. This gal came up while we were sitting there. She said, "You don't remember me, do you?" I said, "No." Now, I don't know what she said after. Didn't she say I saved her life?
Yep.
She said.
Oh, really?
Her and I had worked together. She was a waitress with Twin Gardens for a short period of time, so she knew me.
Really?
Too.
Oh, yeah.
She told me that you had saved her life the one night.
Yeah. Well, her boyfriend. Somebody. I don't know. I was out. I was the manager and a disc jockey, and I went outside, and this guy had a gun to this gal's face.
Oh, my God.
And was threatening to kill her, and that was her boyfriend. And it was a 9mm, it was racked. And I stepped in front of the girl. And make sure. And 2 weeks later, the guy went to shot somebody. He was nuts. So, but I just don't remember the girl. That's all.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yes,
I can't remember
alone.
Her name.
I don't either. I didn't recognize her at all. I didn't look at her when I stepped in front of the gun. So I didn't know who she was. But you don't.
She would remember that for the rest of her life.
Yeah. She told all her family, all her friends about it. Man, everybody knows about it in her world.
Well, I didn't know who she was, so I didn't.
Yeah.
Did ask me, because I had told you that I had worked with her. You did ask me if she still went out with loser guys.
Well.
The one that had the gun at your face.
Yeah,
I said. And I told you, at the time, she wasn't dating anybody. But
okay.
She didn't seem to be extra interested in the losers that showed up.
Joe, I got somebody wants to talk to you. No. You go ahead, Joe. I see another Alabama number on, so I think...
Alabama number? Hello, Kat.
I don't have her on yet. You want to talk? You want to tell her? So she doesn't
explain anything to her.
Sure.
Saturday night.
Sure.
Okay, go for it. Go right ahead. I got her on a mute right now, and I'll
unmute
her when you get done. When you get done telling her what you need to tell her, so she doesn't laugh and interrupt you. Because
she can laugh and interrupt. I mean,
here we go. Big Kathy, you're on the air.
I'm here.
Hey, Ma.
Yeah, I am here.
Did you hear about Joe?
Mm-hmm. I did. This show is getting to be like a Twilight Zone.
That's right.
he is, isn't he?
And Donnie, don't you ever, ever call me crazy again.
Well, no, Joe's the crazy one. You're right.
He's not crazy.
He's making up sleep, darling, like Donnie said.
That's right.
I know it.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Not
well,
crazy.
Who else is crazy on this show? It's Joe.
Oh, just about everybody, so.
Well, that's true.
It's big with the UFOs and aliens like the Twilight and sleepwalking and me telling y'all about people coming back from the dead and
done that yet.
Yeah, well, we were talking about, I guess, JFK Jr., people coming back from the dead.
Oh, for God's sake, don't get her started on that bullshit.
Michael Jackson, John Denver,
Denver.
Daniel?
Oh, you be kidding.
Earnhardt, Dale Earnhardt.
Earnhardt.
Oh, please.
You got tired of racing?
Mm-hmm. You guys don't believe that. I know you don't.
Well, you know what, I always
Robin
said.
Williams.
Who?
Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah, well, he's a candidate for that.
Supposedly, they were involved in this Illuminati, And you can't get out. Once you're in, you don't get out unless you're dead.
That's true.
So, Elvis Presley.
Oh, good.
Elvis?
Elvis Presley, 100 years old now, or 80-something years old right now.
Elvis, I don't know. I mean, Elvis, I can believe that he could be alive, but to be involved with the Illuminati, me is maybe yes, maybe no, because he had such natural talent. He wouldn't need the Illuminati. But
I knew all about Elvis Presley's life story. Believe me, there was no mention of Illuminati.
There was no mention of Illuminati in anybody's life story unless they mentioned it.
It's not going to be mentioned.
Yeah. Well, I would think the bodyguards that wrote the book, Elvis, What Happened, his bodyguard that he fired, the book came out the day before he died. And I think they would have mentioned it.
Donnie, let me ask you something.
Yes,
you're
sir.
Aware, let's say you're aware of the Illuminati. I mean, really deeply aware, not just intellectually aware.
Right.
But you know who they
mm.
are because they've approached you. You've talked to them, maybe you've even broken bread with them.
Mm.
Now you're a bodyguard for one of the most celebrated entertainers in the world. Are you seriously going to write in your book?
Well, hold on. I don't think the bodyguards would be involved. I don't think the bodyguards would know what the hell's going on with Elvis Presley if he didn't want them to know. And I don't think they, you know.
Let me ask you another similar question. Let's say you know somebody really up there in the entertainment world.
Yes.
And you know that the mob is in charge of his or her life.
Tommy James and the Shondells. Tommy James and the Shondells were owned and by the mob for a long time. Look that
and
up.
And Frank Sinatra was associated with the mob, allegedly. But if you know this, are you going to write a book about the mob?
All the book would have to say is that he was with the Illuminati, and leave it at that. They wouldn't go into detail, I don't think. But
it would raise questions. I tell you, I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't either. But these guys, your Elvis Presley's bodyguards, they were heavily armed, and all of them were black belts.
That didn't help Bill Clinton's bodyguards when they found out about good old Philanderer Billy.
No. They got killed. They got killed, but they didn't know. They didn't have they had a weapon, but they didn't have a. Oh, hold on. I'm waiting.
While Cat's still there, let me correct something with Cat.
Please do.
I do not ordinarily walk around looking at the moon, hon.
Well, you should.
I heard that you told
us one night you were in the park, sitting on the bench, looking up at the moon, and you thought about me and Daniel.
And I took pictures of how fast the moon was going from one place up there in the horizon to the other.
How do we know when you're going to be in the park and when you're not? See.
Yeah.
That's why maybe he's
outside
in the moon.
Yeah.
When the hell
would
I know that?
Yeah.
I like the way you said it. Maybe he's outside watching the moon.
Yeah, I know. I can listen to that. I go,
and
you
that
know, it's nothing to go to the park and commune with nature, you know. But
I
have the impression, like, all I do is walk outside and go, I think I'm going to look at the moon tonight and just study it.
That's the worst country accent I've ever heard in my life.
Yes, it was.
Well, I'll work on it.
It was bad, Joe. That accent
was...
Yeah,
well, just now it was, but...
It was pretty bad, buddy. Cinnamon, he can spend a week down south and come back and start... We'll be in the car coming home, and she just sounds just like she's lived down south all her damn life. I said, will you stop that? She doesn't even know she's doing it.
Oh.
God,
it's
bad.
It's really bad when I listen to an audiobook that's either English or Scottish. Yep, and I start it's going, what are you listening to now?
Yeah.
She
just picked it up, and she doesn't even know she's doing it. And it pisses me off. I don't want to hear it. I can't understand hillbilly. Okay.
Hillbilly.
We can't understand Yankee, Donnie.
No, I was about to say that, Kathy. I know how you are, and I know, I want you guys to hear this, though, you guys.
Thank you. Tommy, yours is a riveting story. In the music business, you ended up with Roulette Records.
Yes.
And turned out that it was kind of run by a guy connected to the mob.
Yes. Well, you know, actually what happened is my first record, Hanky Panky, sort of exploded out
from
of Pittsburgh.
From Michigan, by the way.
In 1966. And I went to Pittsburgh, couldn't put the original group back together, and found...
He recorded this song either at 15 or 16 in Michigan at a little radio station, actually, on the west side of the state of Michigan. I forgot. It starts with an H, and I forgot where he lived. But at that, he was a hero in high school, but that's back when they only played regional songs. And, back then, I'd never heard of Leonard Skinner, but down south, never heard of Bob Seger at the time either. I never heard of CCR. But, that's how it was back then. About four or five states, there was all regional, and this was regional.
Found a local band who became the Shondells, went to New York.
You got a lot of fans here.
Went to New York a week later and got a yes from all of the record companies. Really amazing. Columbia, RCA, Atlantic. And the last place we took the record to was Roulette, which is a pretty good little label.
Yeah,
it was
a big label.
So we just got a yes from everybody, and we thought we had it made. And the next morning, I started getting calls from all the record companies that said yes. And they all said, listen, Tom, we got to pass. And I'm like, why? Finally, Jerry Wexler at Atlantic leveled with us and told us that Morris Levy, the head of Roulette Records, called all the other companies and said, this is my record. If you get my drift.
Yeah.
And,
who wanted a horse head in their bed at the
morning? It was first offer I couldn't refuse.
Yeah.
Roulette Records made Hanky Panky number one in the free world and started us down a road of 23 gold singles.
It's a fascinating story in that you didn't get all the money that was due you.
Oh, that's an understatement.
I mean, we're talking millions of dollars. You were basically cheated out of.
Well, basically, the book, Me, the Mob, and the Music, is essentially an autobiography with about two-thirds of it devoted to this very scary and tumultuous and crazy relationship with Morris Levy and Roulette Records. And the reason it was scary was because, unbeknownst to us when we signed with Roulette, Roulette was a front for the Genovese crime family in New York. The crazy part was that if we had gone with one of the corporate labels, one of the big labels, we probably would have been lucky to have been a one-hit wonder because we had, they just rolled out the red carpet for us. Creatively, we could do no wrong at Roulette. And one day I have to ask the good Lord what exactly he had in mind.
Well, I found the book to be one of those mesmerizing books you couldn't put down, and I understand it's going to be made into a film.
Yes, it's going to be a movie, and we are very lucky to have Barbara DeFina, who is producing our movie, who, by the way, did Goodfellas and Casino and...
had a few hits.
Hugo
there.
A couple of years ago.
In other words, mob approved.
And she's just incredible. And
what's that, brother?
I said, in other words, mob approved.
Yeah. Yeah. Kathleen Marshall is directing.
Wow.
Matthew Stone did the screenplay.
You know, it's amazing to me, too. You're still making music and having a lot of fun at it. Just released a new album called Alive,
yes.
Which obviously you're very alive and making music still. Tell me about this project and what kind of music have you compiled on Alive?
Well, basically, Alive is the culmination of about 2 years' work. And honestly, it was a labor of love and had a lot of neat people on here. We did a version. We did a remake of Dragon the Line. It's got a rap in it, and it also has Stevie Van Zandt playing guitar, which
nice.
Is, I guess you know Stevie Van
Zandt. Oh, of course.
And,
if they don't, shame on them.
And also Gene Cornish from the Rascals is on here. And just a lot of my friends, but it's a lot of different kinds of music that I've wanted to do for, a decade or better. It's our first studio album in 10 years.
Well, Tommy, you're going to perform for us in a little while. By the way, one of my favorite radio listening moments is Tommy James every Sunday on 60s on 6 Sirius XM Radio. That's one of those channels I listen to because it's the music that I grew up with. Now, for Tommy's music tour schedule, you can also get autographed copies of
all
Me,
right,
the Mob,
right.
and Music. And this,
right.
I'm serious. It's a phenomenal book. And if you live through the 60s and 70s and remember it, which is in and of itself a great feat, you'll want this book because you're going to relive so much of that era and a phenomenal story. Also,
is that Mike Huckabee?
ESPD, Alive. All of that, TommyJames.com. His story is being turned into the movie.
Hold on.
I want you to keep your eye out for the release date. We're going to have Tommy back when the movie comes out because we want to talk about that when it's around. It's going to be phenomenal.
If you live in a qualified zip code, you may be eligible to receive
American-made
solar panels and a Generac home battery for no cost at install.
Okay. There you go. I'm sorry I hijacked the show again. I mean... Joe and Bianchi did it last time, and I'm doing it this time.
I don't know about Bianchi. I know I didn't have anything to do with hijacking.
You did, Joe.
No,
I did. But I got to play this because somebody a long time ago when we were talking about this, and it's about the Soviet freaking Union. I want to know what the deepest lake is, too.
Oh, my bad. Hang on.
B-A-L-K-A-L. And I don't know. Seven divers? I don't know. So here
July,
we go.
July 2009. The Russian government declassifies top secret documents detailing USO encounters with the Russian Navy. Stunning first-hand accounts of extraterrestrial encounters shock the Russian people and ignite interest from the world's UFO research community.
Joe, this doesn't intrigue you at all?
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Yeah, you jumped their ass. Another UAW or a UFO show?
Yeah.
You guys hijacked the last one, so we got to do it right.
Oh, man. Hey, Danny, will you tell your cousin I had nothing to do with hijacking your show?
Tell the truth, Danny.
Yeah, Dan.
I don't know what y'all are talking about. I'm looking up the deepest lake in the world, and it's what you just said. It's at 592 meters deep.
Oh, okay. Here it says, I don't know, it says 50 meters here, but that can't be right. That wouldn't be the
50 meters is nothing.
No. And it crap, so I'll go with what.
I'm sorry. It's 1,642 meters.
Wow. Now that's
double
deep.
What I just said. Yeah.
And a meter was about 3 feet. That's about, that's
5,387 feet.
Yeah.
I didn't think a diver could go that far down.
I didn't think so either.
Well, here we go. There's seven of them. I don't know.
Kept secret for so long. And why?
The problem that we
have
in Soviet era.
What's that?
They're not going down on scuba gear. They're going down with the deep dive
submersible thing.
You know, Joe, if you quit interrupting me, we could find out how the hell they did it. Okay?
You know, you and I are going to have a little talk.
Okay, buddy. I'm just a funny.
Prior to 1992, dealing with fundamentally a totalitarian system in which UFOs and USOs were not to be talked about. So there was a lot of secrecy. And with the end of the Soviet Union and the release of some of those files that we now have had access to, one of them concerns an undated account of a Russian submarine in the South Pacific.
A Russian nuclear sub encountered a formation of what appeared to be alien spacecraft at depth under the water.
At a depth of approximately 260 meters, crew aboard a fully weaponized Russian nuclear submarine detect six unknown objects on their...
Damn it, Joe wasn't right.
...a sonar, traveling in formation directly towards them. What's even more alarming is the speed at which the objects are traveling, in excess of 265 miles per hour.
This is hugely unusual for the highly trained military personnel, and it was quite unlike anything.
Oh, that's cruising. Underwater?
Oh, my God. 265. No submarine has ever gone that fast.
No.
Not
boat,
even close.
Unless it's a speedboat, and it's only going to go maybe 180 to 200 miles an hour at a short distance.
Above water.
Yeah.
Holy
wow. That's amazing. That is.
Anything they'd ever seen or experienced before.
Now, this is the guy that was in the England deal. He's something, but I can't remember. It's something about UFOs, though, and he can't talk about some of the stuff.
Six disc-shaped objects traveling in formation continue on their trajectory, gaining speed as they head directly towards the submarine.
They were going at incredible speeds, but then when the submarine became alarmed at what was happening with these objects and slowed down its speed, the objects did exactly the same thing, mirroring what the submarine was doing.
The Russian crew are at first stunned by what they're witnessing, then quickly man their battle stations.
The captain, fearing that a collision was imminent and that he was under attack, ordered an emergency surfacing of the submarine.
The submarine finally breaches the surface, narrowly avoiding a collision. But what happens next is even more astonishing.
So here's a Soviet submarine commander dealing with this terrifying situation. They then saw through the periscope these six objects come out of the water and take off at some absurdly fast speed.
One can only speculate about the intent of these USOs. Was this a hostile act of some sort, or were they just fleeing detection? We don't know.
Researchers believe what the Russians encountered was a squadron of underwater extraterrestrial spacecraft.
If you can travel that fast underwater, water is just another medium. So their craft can fly underwater just like they can above water. That tells me that these aren't conventional technologies, nothing earthly made.
What we're dealing with here is very clearly advanced technology. So we have to draw the conclusion that perhaps this is some sort of extraterrestrial technology that we're dealing with. That's what makes this case so compelling. The speed, the movement of the objects, and the rate that they disappeared. It's incredible.
However, the most chilling encounter revealed in Russia's declassified reports doesn't involve unidentified submersible objects, but the alien creatures believed to inhabit them.
We're about to have a commercial here, and I'll get rid of it.
Not everything was built to support a big guy like me.
265
Siberia,
miles.
1982.
That was Howie Long, the football, retired football player,
With a depth of 1,642 meters, Lake Baikal is the deepest freshwater lake in the world. 1,642 meters, Lake Baikal is the deepest freshwater lake in the world. Russian Navy divers are conducting a research mission. Given the depth of the lake and its frigid temperature,
Wow, it's nothing
little
but ice.
Little known about what lies beneath the surface.
They had to break the ice to get these guys down there.
Seven Russian divers are at a depth of 50 meters when suddenly the frogmen realize they are being watched.
These strange humanoid figures were much bigger than human beings and appeared to be wearing helmets of some sort. What on earth are we to make of an encounter like this? It's one thing to talk about USOs, but quite another to talk about humanoid entities deep in the lake.
These were large beings, human shape, but like 9 feet tall, wearing what seemed like very tight-fitting silvery suits. Not your normal scuba gear, basically, swimming in the water, what they've come to call the swimmers of Lake Baikal.
What were these creatures? Why did they not seem to use what we would be using to sustain life? There were no oxygen tanks. So there are lots of interesting facets to this. You have creatures that are underwater and surviving with technology that we don't comprehend.
The Russian divers then make a fateful decision. They try to capture one.
The divers attempted to capture one of these creatures, but at this point, so the documents say, the entities reacted.
A powerful, unknown force suddenly propels the entire group of divers up from the deep water to the surface.
Wow. They did a rapid rise to the surface of the water.
That would give you the bends.
Well, when you do that too fast, you get the decompression, you get the bends, and it's deadly. There were seven of these divers, and three of them died. And
wow.
Four were very severely injured as a result of this.
Why did these creatures react the way that they did? I have to think that when we began to act aggressively, when the divers wanted to capture one of these creatures and throw a net over it, that perhaps they were reacting in a defensive way when they expelled the divers
to
the surface.
Yeah, you think?
We can believe what we've read in the reports. Yeah. These are extraterrestrial beings, something otherworldly.
Wow.
Could these Lake Baikal creatures really be from another world? As UFO researchers...
Now, they're showing a drawing of the... It's got like a half globe on their head. And they sort of look like a frog.
Steve, according
it's
to Russian...
The head, anyway.
...and documents, the surviving divers were too shaken to speak about the incident. But researchers believe the Russian government prevented them from speaking out. And if that's the case, what could they have been trying to keep secret?
They would be concerned about the potential threat, but they'd also be intrigued to know what these entities were, what the technology that they possessed was, and of course, could they acquire that technology themselves? And indeed, weaponization is always something at the back of the mind of any government official looking at the UFO and indeed USO mystery. If there's a technology down there more advanced than our own, we want it.
UFO investigators believe the Lake Baikal encounter indicates that extraterrestrials may be able to survive frigid water and that interaction with them comes with risks. But if that's true, where was their craft? Is it possible they've constructed bases deep below the surface?
Did you guys catch what he was talking about when he said, did you hear the U.S.? He said USO.
Yeah, USO. It's submerged. Unidentified submerged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Object, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The oceans.
But you remember that Air Force pilot seen one go into the water and come out of the water at a high speed, and it didn't break apart, and he was amazed. Remember that?
I remember the guy that wrote Beyond the Pale Horse. He wrote the same thing.
You know, he got you know what happened to him, right?
Oh, didn't he get assassinated or Arkansas or something?
Well, he went nuts. The guy was nuts. He thought the police and FBI and everybody was after him, and some that somebody called the police on him. He came out of his house, raising hell. I don't know. I can't remember if he had a gun. I think he did, but I'm not sure.
And they didn't like Alex Jones.
No. They were tight at one time. They were tight. But, boy, that ended when Alex Jones became very popular and he didn't. That pissed him off. Because he was a Navy intelligence officer, and he thought he should have been.
Yeah.
You know, he had.
Yeah, the number one on the information about the New World Order. The thing is, did you listen to the announcer when she was talking about just like a typical Earthling? She's saying, and we think that maybe the aliens became aggressive when they saw a net going out there to capture them.
Well, hell yeah.
Well, yeah. He blasted them 50 meters up without a stop. You're supposed to stop 50 meters. You probably have to stop about four times.
Probably.
Yeah.
And get your body used to it.
What kind of energy, though? What kind of...
Oh, boy, yeah. I don't know.
What kind of force
did they use to...
Yeah. Well, yeah, what
oh
did they
God.
Use?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Maybe to become a... Well, what would you guys do if strangers came after you with a net? You think you might get a little...
I'd blast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I would... If I wasn't confident enough
you
to blast them, I'd run like hell.
On this planet, if you want to conduct yourself on a world secretly without a lot of interference, it's actually ideal.
We know less about deep oceans than we do about the surface of the moon or Mars. It's a complete mystery.
Logically, it makes complete sense to actually hide stuff underwater because it would be very hard for a hostile government to actually find an alien base of some kind under the water. You've got all that protection, the mud, the silt, keeps any visual recognition from happening. So it really makes a lot of sense.
Well, back in, I forgot, it's been a year or two, maybe last year, but I think it was 2020. Our old man and his son, which was a little boy, about, I think he was 8, they were on a rowboat. They were in a rowboat, and they went out early in the morning. You know, that's when the fish is biting, and they were out there. And they seen this huge white light coming up to the surface, and the boat started rocking like hell, and this thing just took off, and they got the hell off the lake. They were foreigners. I couldn't understand a word they were saying, but they were talking about what they seen and how they will never go fishing ever again because of that.
I like, you know. Do you guys remember the TV series? I think it was called V.
Who?
V. V. Just the letter V.
I never watched it, but I remember a show called V, but I don't know why it was. I don't know what it was about.
What it was about aliens coming to Earth. And, of course, they're bringing promises with them that, you know, they can cure cancer and they can, they're there to come in peace. But in actuality, they're there to conquer the Earth.
Ah.
So, I know for me, I don't know about everybody, I know there'd be a lot of people who are UFOlogists. They would love to find out that aliens would be coming to the planet. I would say you keep every, just like every alien, I don't want them coming to the United States.
You don't?
Keep every alien, interplanetary alien, off our surface.
Really?
Hell
well, you
yeah.
You wouldn't want to see one? Really?
There are benevolent.
No. Absolutely
aliens.
Not.
Oh, yes. Oh, why not?
I'll tell you why. That. How about this?
Okay.
How about, imagine Russians, Germans, English, Americans going to another planet, a very peaceful planet.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And the people on that planet are like, 100 years behind us in armament technology. In other words, they're probably using cannons. The people who land on their planet, they got space particle beams, lasers, phases, et cetera.
Yeah,
now, when you land on the
planet,
you find out that they're loaded with gold, uranium, radium, cobalt, aluminum, et cetera. Do you think that we, anybody from the United States, anybody from Earth, if they went to that planet, do you think they would take time to negotiate with them? Or do you think after 30 days of impatience, they would just either colonize them or kill them for the minerals?
Well, first of all, we're not going to get to another planet without help from these guys that you call, like, they're going to kill us. I would love to meet, just see one. I don't have to...
I don't want them in our atmosphere. I don't want them landing on Earth at all.
Of course you don't.
But they already have.
I think
they already
are.
Have, probably. But look at what's happening to Earth. They're terraforming the planet.
You know, Kathy mentions lizards a lot when she talks about some people. I'm telling you, there is a tape. And I can't remember. I think it was Bush. Yeah, it was Bush. He had a bodyguard, and he's a black guy. I'm telling you, he was up front of that stage, and his eyes turned off. And you could see turning into a slit now. And that tape was looked at, and
it was verified to be a true tape. Yeah,
it was a true tape, but they couldn't explain what you were seeing.
Well, Cooper said I think Cooper said that happened. No, Ike said that happened to him.
David Ike.
Yeah,
David Ike said it happened to him, too. Dan, you know who he is? David Ike?
I've heard of him.
Okay. Yeah, you might want to look him up. He used to be a sports announcer in England.
He used to play football in England.
Oh, well, yeah.
Became an announcer, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. I'm going to play this real quick. The History Channel is only 3 minutes long, and this is pretty amazing. If you could see this aircraft carrier.
Spy satellites, stealth fighters, the atomic bomb. These were all once top secret weapons programs. Makes you wonder what other secret technology is the U.S. military working on now? And could they be working with allies from another planet? According to one foreign government, this video proves it.
Now, this is called The Proof is Out There, and this guy, it's a show on History Channel. It's very good. They debunk a hell of a lot of stuff. I haven't seen this one. So we'll find out if it's real or not.
The Mediterranean Sea. An F-18 is approaching the deck of the carrier USS Ford. It looks like a pinpoint precise landing. But then...
as it goes to touchdown, we actually see a triangular-shaped UFO, like something that would be right out of an alien movie. And you're like, whoa! Let's rewind that.
The object definitely doesn't look like any known military aircraft. And that triangle shape, that means something.
Historically, UFOs have been certain types of shapes. You've got cigar UFOs, saucer UFOs, and triangle UFOs. So the fact that there was a triangle UFO on this aircraft carrier, that really sent the UFO community into a frenzy.
The USS Ford video becomes more than clickbait. It becomes international news. The Iranian state media declares it proof that the U.S. is plotting with aliens to take over the world.
If it was Ford, I'm surprised the damn thing didn't crash. That was the most clumsiest. I can't even speak. Jesus, the man couldn't walk up. He couldn't walk. He's like Biden, falling up the stairs, down the stairs. I don't know how many times he fell. And he's from Michigan, and he played football at Michigan.
Oh, did he?
And this is USS Ford. I can't believe it didn't crash.
And even when this official version of the video surfaces, same plane, same ship, but no UFO.
Yeah,
people,
there is no UFO. So where did it go?
People aren't convinced.
Some are wondering, is this original video really the original video? Or did they edit out the triangular-shaped UFO to keep us from knowing that they actually are harboring alien spacecraft?
I don't know. I don't think
the U.S.
so.
Military's so-called black budget for military research and covert ops is estimated at about $50 billion a year.
Wow.
Is this video proof of your tax dollars at work? Let's check in with our experts.
No. I don't think so. Not that, anyway.
Science writer and forensic video analyst Mick West notices two things right away. First, look at those shadows.
The sun's rays are all parallel. They're all the same angle, like the helicopter angle. If we go to here, it actually needs to rotate to there.
Yeah.
So they've put the shadow at the wrong angle. These all have an angle like this, and these have an angle like that.
Then he stabilized the footage,
dude,
keeping the deck fixed.
We can see the object kind of jiggles around. Everything else is staying nice and solid, but this is doing a little damp on the deck, which is because they haven't properly registered the motion tracking with the deck at a subpixel level.
Oh, and just one more thing.
It looks not just remarkably, but identically like a toy model kit of what is called the TR-3D. This particular aircraft is identical to the model. It is for sale.
Well, the verdict is you're stupid if you believe it.
McMillan says videos like this aren't all fun and games. When they get exploited by hostile governments, they sow mistrust and anger towards the U.S. military. That's a common tactic in information warfare. So, our verdict? Hoax. And perhaps not such a harmless hoax.
There you go, guys.
Verdict is you're stupid if you don't believe it.
Oh, well. You could tell that was fake. It looked.
Did you wipe good enough today?
It looked fake, and you would have spotted it. It looked cheaply done.
I mean, as we currently are sitting here on the phone, the Galactic Federation are taking out the Galactic Federation of Worlds.
Oh, what? Worlds? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We talked about it before, Donnie.
Yeah, you know, it's like a good NATO in the universe. They're not just from the Milky Way; they're from everywhere. You know, it's a galactic federation of worlds.
Right, I got you.
And they've been cleaning our solar system up because of races, species such as the Draconians, the lizards that we talk about.
Right.
They're the Draconian race from, I don't know what star system, but I just don't know it, you know. I mean,
right.
they've got all this information. They know where these species come from. Like the Pleiadians come from the Pleiades, you know, of course. Makes sense.
Yeah.
But during this cleanup, and it's been going on for a while in our solar system because we had some pretty bad folks. And what they did, believe this, what the Galactic Federation did was they brought a battle planet through the Sun Belt. I don't even know what the Sun Belt is, okay? But it's obviously some kind of portal, you know, or something like that. But they brought it through. They brought a planet, a battle planet, through. And they said in 30 seconds, or was it 30 minutes? I don't know. It don't even matter. They shot and killed over 30,000 alien spacecraft, bad spacecraft down. They brought it through. They cloaked it. The bad aliens in our solar system had no clue that they were even coming through to clean house, but they had been planning it for years.
Oh,
and they brought a planet through a portal, cloaked it, CGI'd it, whatever they had to do to hide it. Mm-hmm. And when they opened fire, they took out 30,000 ships.
30,000 ships? U.S. ships?
Yes. No, no. UFO ships. Bad alien ships.
Yeah. Okay.
And as of right now, as of present, there's mm-hmm. only two spots in our solar system that have they're bad aliens and they have a stronghold. One's in the, asteroid belt between Jupiter and Saturn or something like that?
I don't
even know if that's where the asteroid belt is, but they've got one there and they've got one in another star system in the Milky Way. But they've wiped them out.
What website do you go to, Danny, to find this out?
1-800-I'm-hiring-a-kite.com.
What you need to do is you need to search for a man named Gene Decode.
Gene Decode, okay.
And as much as a crazy shithouse rat on acid he sounds like, this man, this is the guy that I talk about, the one that got touched by the Borgia, the beetle. I mean, he's had a couple of near-death experiences earlier in his life. He was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
But the information that he spits out over and over and over, you can hear him on several other shows.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost verbatim. He's not making it up because you would catch him in a lie.
Yeah.
You don't catch this man in a lie.
No.
And he talks so fast that, you know, Donnie, you, when you talk that fast, you're just not making stuff up, man.
He knows all this physics.
Gene
right.
Decode, like D-E-C-O-D-E?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another, I don't like her. Me and Mama don't like her much anymore, Alinda Paris.
All right.
And she has a show with a guy named Sarge, S-A-R-G-E.
Oh, yeah, he's been on our show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I invited him to come to our show. He eventually showed up. Yeah, he was a good guest.
Yeah.
Well, now, hang on. I did listen to one Sarge on here. Is this the UFO Sarge, the one that he was a Marine?
So. This Sarge, no. He's a black guy. He was in the Army.
Yeah, this one's black.
He brings good facts. If there's anybody who can do research, it's Sarge.
Yeah. I don't know if Sarge. I didn't know Sarge was black. I thought he was white. And the guy that had the show was black. I got to make
it may be two different guys because Sarge never talks about UFOs. He always talks about history. Military history.
Military history he's very good at.
Yeah.
This Sarge I'm talking about, he's all about UFOs.
Oh, okay. Cinnamon, could I get a coffee, honey, please, baby doll? Daddy's dying.
But Gene Decode will give you so much information.
Baby.
And Linda who?
Linda Paris.
Okay.
She talks a lot about those what are they called? The MK Ultra Warriors, the super soldiers.
Okay. Yeah.
She is all about the super soldiers.
Is she related to Critic?
I don't know.
Cuz that's his
Could
last
be.
Name too.
Paris.
Yeah.
Yep, Linda Paris. She's on, I don't know.
She on Blog
Talk? They're all on YouTube. They're all on YouTube.
Oh, on YouTube. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we go to YouTube, BitChute.
That Gallatin TV.
That's it.
We've got a lot of people in the switchboard. You'd like to join the show and laugh at Joe, press 1 on your keypad.
Yeah, everybody's welcome.
Yeah.
What else, Mama? What else about them bringing the battle planet through and cleaning house?
Oh, Scott McKay's a good one.
Oh, Scott, forgot about him.
Scott
Patriot,
McKay?
Street Fighter.
Yep.
Is that MC or MKKAY?
I think it's a M-C-K-A-Y.
M-C-K-A-Y. Okay, Scott McCain. Okay.
Yeah, he's good. I was watching, I started watching one earlier today. He was going to talk about Ukraine, and he had a guest on there, and
yeah.
So I'm going to finish watching it after the show.
Oh. Go to Galactic Talk.
Oh, yeah.
Galactic Talk. That is the name of the show. It's a guy from Africa with a thick accent, but you can still understand him fine.
Is it YouTube?
Is where do we find that Galactic Talk?
YouTube.
I think, okay, good.
Okay.
All right, now, hold on. Jim sent me this. Ancient Aliens, Japan reveals existence of UFOs.
While the United States officially denied investigating UAPs until 2017.
Well, that's right. They changed it, didn't they? It's not UFOs anymore. They changed it.
Some nations had always been ahead in their approach to the subject. Leading the world in UAP research is the South American country of Chile. In 1997, the Chilean government officially instructed air traffic control and military personnel to create the Committee for the Study of Anomalous Aerial Phenomena. The committee studies all reports of UAP activity by commercial, military, and civilian pilots. One of the most well-publicized was a shocking incident that occurred in 2014 when Chilean naval officers flying along the coast of Santiago captured video of a UAP.
There was an incident in 2014 where a military helicopter got video of a strange object. It kind of looked like a rocket with some sort of plume behind it. And they said they were at about 4,500 feet.
They have 9 minutes of fairly clear video that exists on this. The Chilean military studied it for 2 years, and they were not able to identify this at all.
Chile, like many other South American countries, seem to be far more open to the idea that there are objects coming into our airspace.
I think one of the reasons why South American countries are more open-minded about the UFO and the extraterrestrial question is because it is part of their cultural heritage. In fact, Peru and Bolivia, they're treasure troves for the ancient astronaut theory. The whole pre-Inca culture and even the Inca culture spoke of these beings of light that descended from the sky.
They did.
And so these countries essentially grew up with this intrinsic knowledge of someone up in the sky.
Brazil has had a history of really dramatic UFO encounters. Chile, I think Uruguay, maybe as well. But the whole world didn't pay much attention to it.
In addition to South America, now other parts of the world are also starting to disclose information about UFOs. Governments are openly investigating encounters reported by both civilians and military personnel. But many researchers believe the most noteworthy country to join this international effort is also one of the most skeptical, Japan. In 2018, the Japanese government released an official statement denying the existence of UFOs.
For the longest time in Japan, those in charge, those at the top of the Defense Department, have denied UFOs, showed a disinterest in UFOs, basically a complete dismissal of the UFO topic completely.
The Japanese government made a sudden press release that said they would not recognize any UFO encounters or extraterrestrial presence on Earth or in the airspace of Japan. I thought this was very strange, as we had already interviewed two pilots who had several incidents and testimonies that they gave us regarding various pilots' encounters in the air and from the ground over the years when they were active in the military.
Mamoru Sato, a former wing commander in the Japanese Self-Defense Force, said that he regularly heard stories from other pilots as well as civilians about UAP sightings.
Some people said, there's something strange out there. There were a lot of opportunities to see inexplicable things, such as UFOs, that were monitoring the sky and training in the sky. And it was my subjective view that we should make a report and organize these things as correct data. But even when this happened, it was only shared among colleagues and not reported publicly.
According to some, numerous pilots have reported highly unusual encounters with what they described as cigar-shaped objects. During one such incident, a student in his fighter pilot course even lost control of his craft.
He said, the aircraft started going crazy. The alarm rang to indicate that something was wrong with the machine. I saw a cigar-shaped object flying about 1,500 meters high from east to west. The anomaly continued until it disappeared.
For years, pilots in the Japanese military were instructed to remain silent about such incidents. But in September 2020, Japan's decades-long policy of secrecy and denial came to an end when Defense Minister Taro Kono tasked the Japanese Self-Defense Forces to make a visual recording of any encounter with an unexplained craft. Many believe this very public shift in policy was prompted by a meeting held 1 month earlier between Minister Kono and his U.S. counterpart, Defense Secretary Mark Esper.
The Japanese, after this meeting, gave a press conference, and they said one of the topics that came up was unidentified aerial phenomena, and we talked about the need to cooperate on this.
That's a major development, I think, when you have close allies like the U.S. and Japan openly speaking about the UFO issue and agreeing to cooperate. We've come so far in such a short amount of time.
The fact that Japan denied that there was UFO activity happening in their country, and now they're establishing the Japanese Space Operations Squadron, says to me that there clearly is something going on over the skies of Japan.
Ancient astronaut theorists suggest governments throughout the world are finally beginning to acknowledge that there may be objects in our skies that are not of this Earth.
Wouldn't we know that?
Well, none of this is what you would call either secret or not known by just about everybody on the planet. If not through comic books, then through movies, etc. So I don't know if anybody ever even believed any government that denied the existence of UFOs.
Yeah.
I think America denied it.
Yes.
American citizens, I don't think, if the American government denied it, I don't think the American citizens believed it.
they thought Biden would be a good president, too.
Well, I didn't say America wasn't stupid. I think that's one of the... Okay.
You're my man. Jesus, good comment.
Right? I mean, look, how about the themes of some of my early shows about how stupid Americans are?
Well, yeah. You definitely
believe.
You got that going on. You guys ever see Kyle Dunnigan?
No.
Anybody? No. Oh, this guy. I don't know how he does it, but he... I don't know how he does it, but he can put like a likeness of Biden when he's talking, and Bill Maher when he's talking. It's amazing how I don't know how he does it.
What are you guys doing here?
What? I'm gonna play a little bit of it because he plays Biden pretty good.
He would do anything to cheer up intellectual boys with games. As a space blob of color, what?
Now he's doing.
he's an impressionist?
Well, no, he's not really, but you can tell usually who it is. He does Fauci, but he doesn't do Fauci, you know what I mean? He shows it in his face.
How come Jack is the one under threat? From structural space.
Fauci's hair and everything.
We could just make out or whatever.
No. Quick, put on a mask.
Captain, life signs are disappearing all over the ship.
Okay, the guy got his weenie cut off. Oh, God. See, my memory's shot.
I know who you mean, Maya. I forget, too. Famous case, we threw it away.
You mentioned a couple times weeks ago, Joe, going with that big butted girl with the big boobs, was married to that West guy.
Oh, Kardashian? Kim Kardashian?
Yeah, okay. Their mother married him, but I can't think of his damn name.
John Wayne Bobbitt.
No.
He's the only person I know that's had his thing cut off.
No. He's a woman now.
Jenner.
Bruce Jenner.
Bruce Jenner. Caitlin.
Yeah. Caitlin. You know, he was married to the lady that lived with Elvis for about 4 years. He married her after Elvis. And then he married Kardashian after the old man died, of course.
I was just talking about the Kardashians early before I came on the show, and I'm thinking that Kanye West to marry Kim Kardashian, to marry into that family, you have to have mental issues.
You got to be freaking nuts. You really do. No, I agree with you 100%, and that's unusual, I have to admit. But what the hell? Oh, they think, I can't remember the middle Jenner or the smallest one or the youngest one, rather.
It's Kylie Jenner.
Yeah, okay.
Chloe.
Well, Chloe, they think she's O.J. Simpson's kid.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They think who's O.J. Simpson's kid?
The Juice.
One of the Kardashians, the smaller one.
Right.
One. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt
there's
it.
There's no resemblance there.
Okay, this is the Fresh, just see if you, the Fresh, what is it? Fresh, Prez of D.C., Fresh.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
No, Fresh. What is it?
Huh.
Prez. Of D.C.
Last time with a bunch of fresh teeth. America's in crisis.
If anyone can make fun of Joe Biden, I will put his penis inside my mouth.
Now that's, it's Bill Maher's hair and his body, but it's Kyle Dunnigan's kind of face and... I don't know. You got to see it.
Maui. You can't possibly be serious.
Is there a problem with the hats, Dad?
Did you spend all our data?
Who is that girl?
She's what my people would call a turbo yenta.
Did you fuck her, you piece of shit?
Well, I was born and raised in Scranton, PA. Lifeguard by the pool is where I spent my days. Till a dude named Corn Pop, who wasn't that cool, started making trouble at the swimming pool. Then I got on a train and moved to D.C. Jirok Jabrama gave a job to me. I shuffled around and sucked fingertips. Made a big speech, kissed the boy on the lips. What are you looking at? I wrote the damn bill. I hold the ladies tight and sniff all their hairs. First person American to fall up the stairs. Ran for president. I was a winner. Winner was me. Now I sit at my desk as a president. Not president. You know the thing. Come on. Get your face out of your ears.
Excuse me?
You
now this is Ben Shapiro talking to AOC.
Are you a piece of shit?
Now that's his son, that's Hunter.
What is happening here?
Oh, look out. Honey doesn't like it when another fellow rubs rhubarb with his best gals.
Pepper, be honest. I promise I won't get mad.
You eat her, Beaver? Good Lord, what are we talking about here? I've never met this woman.
You swear on your frisbee hat that you didn't eat your pussy so she came really hard?
If you're referring to my comica, I assure you it is not a frisbee. Secondly, I am a happily married man, and I was under the impression that you were as well.
You know who Ben Shapiro is?
Just like Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And they're talking about his... what's that thing called on his head? He always wears that. but I can't remember the name of it.
For real? I don't even know. But I do know I'm going to kick your ass.
Okay, okay. Settle down now. You can play grab ass later, Bedford. Right now, we need to break into teams. Hunty, get in touch with your China guy and get a refund for $40 billion. I'll stay here and watch Bedford make sure he doesn't fuck your girlfriend.
That's Bedford is Ben.
Thanks, Dad.
Girl. And that's Hunter right there.
Bedford.
What just happened here?
Congresswoman, I've never lied to you fools. I mean humans. I mean fellow earthlings.
Mm-hmm. Are you flirting with me, Mr. Zuckerberg?
I can see why you like her better.
Oh,
she's a beautiful woman.
I have.
I can imagine her running along a beach, waves crashing behind her.
Gotcha.
The tropical sun gently browning her firm, toned rump. Her nipples hardening in the breeze as her bosom heaves. Rump.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
Okay, that's enough. You got to see it. Go to Kyle Dunnigan.
That's a damn good impression of Shapiro.
Ooh. Oh, that's right on, isn't it? And ooh. He kind of looks, he's got black hair and everything, with his eyebrows. But on Biden, he's got gray. So he goes all out. And he does Pelosi, but, it's a gig. It's funny. Not to be an impressionist.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, he ain't.
He's not an impressionist, but he does impressions for the show. Yeah,
and it's fun. Funny as hell. I like it. Did you hear, never mind. I don't know.
You had mentioned on Joe Rogan that, or at least he mentioned that Bill Maher was not happy with his, which is weird, by the way, because I've had this discussion a lot. I'm not a comic. James is a comic. You're obviously a comic. It seems like all comics are always about free speech and open expression, except for the one thing that bothers them, right?
Right.
And it's always weird because there's so, every single comic that works at Gas Digital, I know their one thing that will piss them off, that they don't want it to be funny. It's not funny to them. So it's weird when you're all so much for free speech. But my question is that, other than Bill Maher, who now we know does not like your impression of him, are there other celebrities that reached out to you that don't like it? Like Stallone, you tag him in those Instagrams.
Yeah, Stallone is funny when he does Stallone. But anyway, that's when you guys jump in,
I have nothing to say. I'm falling asleep, actually. Yeah.
So, the moon was made by extraterrestrials, right?
You mentioned that a long time ago, Danny, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Gene Decode explains how they know this.
Well.
And I think I've said it before.
Yeah.
All the craters on the moon, it doesn't matter if they're 3 miles wide or 3 feet wide.
Yeah.
Whatever's hit the moon, whatever rock, only descends into the crust or whatever you want to call it, say 30 feet max. I'm just saying that. I'm just using that. So every hole pretty much on the moon is the same because on the inside of the moon, since it is artificially made, they have shock absorbers, just like shocks on a car or something.
Okay.
It can only give so much, maximum. And so you're not going to have, one that's 3 miles and then one right next to it that's 2 inches. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's got a lot to do with the gravity, too, and the atmosphere of the moon.
I remember when I was a kid, I used to read comic books, and a couple of comic books had speculated that the moon was man-made.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing is, the moon is so large, you'd have to have some kind of technology to make the moon
a man-made
object.
You see, you go back before Christ and see these on the walls of these caves.
Yeah, the hieroglyphics.
Yeah, it looks like it looks like spacemen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That I wanted to say something about that earlier when you were playing that clip about the South American countries.
Right.
How their culture, that's just part of their culture, man.
Yeah.
It shows it on the walls, man. They painted it. They painted the picture.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody talks about it.
Yeah, I think I saw either an inscription or a painting from one of these ancient cultures where it looked like somebody had a helmet on.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of down in Mexico, there's a lot. Now, Daniel turned me on to something today I didn't know anything about, and that's me turn that on. It's the a black pyramid. Have you ever heard of that, Joe?
No, I never heard of that.
In Alaska.
In Alaska, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one in Antarctic.
They do have a base, or they did anyway.
Right.
Here's a picture of the thing. This is a National Defense Restricted Area. And they say they're the most UFO sightings there is. We'll play it one more time.
That Alaskan triangle is what they call it.
Type of lizards or reptilian.
Reptilian.
On his way to interview a former U.S. Air Force officer willing to speak about his UFO sighting for the first time. The alleged sighting took place at an Air Force base with nuclear weapons and a long history of strange encounters.
My name is Daniel Gibson. I'm a retired Air Force major.
Major Gibson, thank you very much for taking your time to come and speak with us here today. I'd like to start by asking you, what inspired you to come here today and why now?
In the fall of 1995, I was stationed at Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana, right outside of Great Falls. Malmstrom is primarily a ICBM missile base.
Since the 1960s, Malmstrom Air Force Base has housed hundreds of intercontinental ballistic missiles with nuclear warheads capable of destroying entire cities. During the Cold War, the base was a key part of America's nuclear arsenal that provided a protective arc across the nation's northern tier.
Launch trajectories from the Soviet Union come over the poles across Alaska and Canada. A ring of bases were established across the northern United States to house both ICBMs and strategic bombers. And they were the bedrock of our strategic deterrence and our security and safety.
Maintain alert under Warplan Bravo.
In the fall of 1995, Gibson was on board a KC-135 as it conducted mid-air refueling for a fleet of B-1B strategic heavy bombers, which can carry nuclear payloads anywhere in the world.
Once the refueling was done, we started our trip back to Malmstrom. I moved forward to the flight deck to enjoy the aurora borealis above us.
Flight paths for these refueling missions often included views of the aurora borealis, or northern lights.
All of a sudden, there was just this very bright light. The aircraft commander and co-pilot, they saw it first. Time kind of froze for us, but it was probably a good minute that it was there. This light, we watched it all the way down into the aurora where it stopped. And you could actually see the aurora flowing around it, just as if you would see a bow wave going around the front of a boat. The longer the object stayed in the aurora, the brighter the object got. And then it just shot straight up and was gone.
So some people would say, you're obviously confused. You saw a planet or a star.
We had no doubt in our mind that it was not a star or a planet because it entered our atmosphere. It was in the aurora borealis itself, and then it shot straight back up. I've seen the International Space Station. It moves at a very fast clip. This was moving 10 times plus. We all had the same reaction. It was almost a stunned silence. None of us had seen anything like that before.
Some folks will say, well, you know, it could be a Russian first-stage booster rocket coming in on reentry.
Well, initially we thought it was a shooting star, but then we saw the speed at which it was descending, and then it stopped.
According to Gibson's account, the object possessed three of the five observables: instantaneous acceleration, the ability to accelerate instantly from a standstill, hypersonic velocity, speeds of 3,700 miles per hour or more, and transmedium travel, the ability to move through air, water, and the vacuum of space.
You're going from an atmospheric environment to potentially a vacuum environment.
I don't know of any object in our inventory that has the capability to stop mid-reentry, stay in position, and then once it's done, accelerate back out of the atmosphere. The G-forces would kill a human being.
To Elizondo, Major Gibson's sighting is part of a pattern. While working with ATIP, the Pentagon's Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, Elizondo says investigators researched multiple UFO sightings around northern tier nuclear bases during the Cold War. These sightings were part of a recently leaked 500-page government-funded report detailing dozens of alleged Cold War UFO encounters. Investigative journalist Tim McMillan has studied the report.
There's a chart that showed the number of UFO sightings within proximity to different nuclear facilities that house weapon systems. There's a distinct correlation that these objects appear to be encroaching upon airspace of the northern tier. If you look at just those numbers alone, it's alarming.
One of the most remarkable Cold War era sightings also occurred near Malmstrom Air Force Base, 28 years before Gibson's experience.
Okay.
In 1967, several Air Force personnel reported seeing a glowing red object flying over the base. The object appeared to move rapidly and was able to make sharp 90-degree turns, stop abruptly, and reverse course, much like the movements described by Major Gibson nearly 30 years later.
Both the UFOs had this incredible ability to take off and basically go from a very low velocity, almost a complete hover, to an incredible speed in the instant of time.
And there is one more detail that concerns Elizondo and his team. Reportedly, moments after the sighting, 10 of Malmstrom's nuclear warheads were suddenly, inexplicably, turned off.
These weapon systems had been shut offline, so they couldn't be fired. If these were Russian aircraft, if these were someone else's aircraft, the idea that something could possess a technology that could fly within proximity and take these systems offline, that's a terrifying capability.
Is this some sort of U.S. secret technology or perhaps some sort of adversarial secret, you know, weapon system or platform? There is a definitive link to nuclear technology, whether on the battle space or in time of peace. That, I think, is becoming more and more clear. The question is, why? What is the connection?
What is the connection, Joe?
I do not know.
Neither. Daniel, what's the connection?
I know when they were talking before, Dan, you still there?
Yeah.
Well, when they were talking about the acceleration, when I was in the service, for some reason I was over by the flight line.
Uh-huh.
And do you guys remember the U-2 spy plane?
Yeah, yeah.
I was there when one of them took off.
Oh,
you
really?
You talk about acceleration, it goes straight up in the air. It's none of this, you know, 45-degree angle stuff.
Yeah, and they can pull that sucker right up in the air. And, you know, who got these planes, who did the first takeoff like that in our history was during Pearl Harbor.
Uh-huh.
You remember who
During Pearl Harbor? No.
No, the guy that with the pilot, the famous pilot that.
You mean the YouTube that got shot down? It was Gary Powers.
No. The first plane to take off, a B-52, to take off of a deck of a aircraft carrier, and his squad went and they dropped their bombs in Japan, and they had to head over to China and hope to God they had enough gas to get there, or enough fuel to get there.
Hmm.
You don't... Now I got Pappy Boinkin. Pappy, what's his name in my mind, and I can't think of the goddamn guy's name. Oh, well.
I just thought it was a big battle, I think, for Admiral Nimitz. Not Nimitz. There was another admiral who wanted aircraft carriers, and they all thought of him as freaking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, Nimitz actually won the Pacific. He won it. That's how there's in the oceans. He took charge, and they thought he was nuts. And White House didn't want him to do one of the things he decided to do, and they said, no, don't do it, but it's up to you. Because they trusted him, and he did it, and he succeeded. And
then they got an aircraft carrier named after him.
Yeah, I guess you gotta be dead before you get that, though. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you'll never know it, right?
But I mean, can you think of how radical it was during the time for an admiral? If he wasn't an admiral, he was certainly bucking for it. I think it was Admiral Mitchell, but I'm not sure. And he was talking about having planes fly onto a floating ship, take off from a floating ship. And people saying, you got to be kidding. That can't be done. And eventually, he must have influenced the Joint Chiefs of Staff because they came and did it.
Oh, that's like Patton. He got the military to look at the tanks. You ought to see these tanks he started in, but he showed them. He had to show them.
Amino acids.
He had to show them, and they all came out. And he showed this tank. It wasn't even a tank, for God's sakes. What you would consider a tank now wasn't even close, and he's the one that started that.
Oh,
thanks. Right. In the military. Yeah, down in Fort Knox.
Fort Knox. Tanks seem to make sense, but aircraft carriers, to me, I would be thinking, since I wouldn't be familiar with them, and I'm saying, what about the buckling of the ship, the rowing of the ship going forward, the ship having to stop? And are you going to stop, a jet plane? And they came up with all kinds of good ideas to make it work. Well, can you imagine the skill of the pilots that have to land on an aircraft carrier?
I can't imagine.
Woo.
You have to, the ship's got to turn into the wind so they can get lift. But the take off and land would scare the hell out of me. I don't want no part of it.
Yeah. You got to really be good to take off from a carrier, because you're about, 200 feet, 300, maybe 200 yards, 100 yards shorter than what ordinarily the runway has to be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why they got that.
The catapult.
Yeah, thank you. I couldn't think of the name as usual. That's amazing. Now, somebody sent me, Linda sent me this on Instant Messenger on Facebook, which I'm on, I don't know why. Mark Dice, who is the Vice President of the United States? That's who he's talking to, or asking these young ladies and men.
Oh, it's God.
You know how this is going to turn out, right? No? Okay.
Talking politics today.
Oh, I'm not.
Mike, just give us the pop quiz.
I don't know anything.
you know the name of the vice president?
No. No, actually. I just moved here from Wisconsin, so I don't know. So.
Oh, they don't report on the vice president in Wisconsin?
They do, but I don't know.
Don't know the vice president.
I have no idea.
You don't know.
No.
Isn't
president.
The vice president a female?
Yes. Give me a name, though.
Oh, my God.
Miss F. Yeah, I don't know her name at all. I just know she's black. That's it.
Pop quiz. Who's the current vice president, the second most powerful person in the world?
Camilla, I forgot her last name.
Forgot her last name.
Yeah, I don't. I'm really pissed off at politics.
Who's Joe Biden's vice president?
Who's Joe Biden's vice
president? Kamala.
Second most powerful person in the world.
Kamala.
If he falls
Kamala
down
Harris,
the stairs.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
Yes. Kamala Harris.
I'm vice president. My name is Kamala Harris.
Vice presidents often get overlooked in terms of American politics, and they don't get the respect that they maybe deserve. Who was Barack Obama's vice president?
I have no idea.
No.
Come on, man.
Who was Barack Obama's
on,
vice
man.
President? No help, just you.
Barack
wow. Barack
These Obama's are older women, too, in their at least
who
40s.
Was
I don't remember. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't want to look stupid.
Okay, it's too late for that.
Hey, brother, I like your work.
Oh, you do? Thank
yeah,
you. Appreciate
yeah.
it. Who was Barack Obama's vice president?
John. Oh, wait, not John McCain. Can I ask her too? No, I don't
know
either.
No.
For
two terms, he had a right-hand man, vice president, second most powerful person in the world. He had a name. You don't know?
I don't know. Forgot.
This town needs an enema.
First term, second. Oh, same term, huh?
Same guy.
Same
both
guy.
Terms.
What is this? Our president now. His name.
I don't even know.
Don't even know the president.
He's the old guy.
I'm laughing too.
Barack Obama had a vice president. What was his name?
Matt. I forgot.
It was his vice president for two terms. It was a big effing deal.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Great.
What is it?
It was awful. No.
Who was Donald Trump's vice president?
I don't even know.
Tell you the truth, I really don't.
Well, that's what liberalism and the mainstream media does to people. So order your Liberalism Find a Cure shirt or my new Operation Mockingbird shirt from my online store at markfetz.com or click the link in the description below to help spread the word. Like all of my designs, they're available in a t-shirt, long sleeve, and a hoodie, and a whole bunch of different colors as well. So,
Okay, that's Mark Dice. You can go to markdice.com and look at his merchandise and watch some tapes that you'll be disgusted with, believe me, like this one right here.
Well, yeah, here's Man in the Streets or something. I'll tell you, back in 2006, if you had asked me who was Obama's vice president, I wouldn't know.
Oh, you would have.
No,
you
I wouldn't have. It might come to mind, and maybe it wouldn't, but I was not interested in politics until 2006. I wouldn't have cared who was the vice president, who was the president, who was the secretary of state.
Really?
Didn't bother me at all until 2006. Then I got involved and realized that politics is everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
everything.
It is.
The air we breathe, even who we date, is related to the laws that they make. So when I started realizing just how important politics was, then I got very involved in it. And then I formed a coalition for Ron Paul. But prior to that, all I knew about Obama was that he was black. I don't know how he got elected being black and having a Muslim name, but I would not have known Joe Biden.
Wow. Yeah. Well, okay. I'll let you slide on that. Who was, or you wouldn't know. Well, you might. President Nixon's first vice president.
I don't know. I think Ford was a vice president for Nixon, but I don't.
He took over as president. He was never vice president.
Yeah. No,
he went to jail. I don't know if he
went to jail. Oh, Rockefeller?
No. But Rockefeller was a vice president.
Nelson Rockefeller was a vice president. Yeah.
And then he was a senator for New York.
Yeah.
Sparrow Agnew.
Oh, from Maryland. I remember him. He was the governor of Maryland.
There you go.
Yeah.
See? You know what the hell is going
on. Like I say, I mean, if it sparks a memory in me, then it'll, you know, if it happens, it happens.
Well, how many people are going to spark a memory on Spiro Agnew? Not many. Believe me. Trust me.
I don't know. It just resided in my mind. But I'm lucky I remember even that, because the way my memory is nowadays, I can literally tell you I don't remember what I did.
I know. I'm definitely losing my memory. There's no question. Cinnamon's always got to help me out.
Your memory's going, Don, because on the air, you're forgetting a lot. Just, you know, as you're trying to speak, you might want to see a doctor about that, like I said to you before.
I know. I'm going to, oh, matter of fact, I got an appointment tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
Because my test came back positive, and I got to go, and I don't want to.
I don't blame you. I don't want to go see doctors either.
I don't. I like my doctor. We have a good time, and we're serious at first, and then we screw around. He's a good guy.
I just thank the incompetence and the arrogance of doctors for preventing me from getting sick, because I don't want to see them.
Oh,
that's one of my an impetus for me not to go. It's it's a motivation for me to stay well.
There you go.
The last time I went, to the VA, which is many years ago. I almost punched the fucking doctor out.
Oh wow! Well,
I was sick, and this guy was acting like in a very cavalier fashion, I didn't like it. I told him about it, and he didn't think I was serious, so I stood up from my from my chair.
Yeah.
He realized I was serious then.
Oh, yeah. I fired two doctors until I got this one about 15 years ago. I think it was about 15 years ago, 16. I tell you what really irks me, when you make an appointment at like 1 o'clock and you walk in 1:45 and a place is packed, you know you're not getting in until
about 1 o'clock, right?
That pisses me off. My buddy John, he was the doctor, and they forgot me. I was in a room before. I went to work at 4 o'clock. I'm supposed to go to work at 4 o'clock, but they forgot me in the room. They started cleaning the stinking rooms. And I was in the last one, so
hey.
She opened the door and about had a heart
I'm
attack.
Back.
Oh, didn't know you were gone, buddy. We didn't miss you a bit.
I'm sure y'all didn't.
Okay, well, this is from Linda. Well, it doesn't matter what the story was.
You know what? Before you play that, before I forget... The one thing that irked me about a doctor, I had this dentist, very pleasant dentist. I enjoyed going to her. Very pleasant.
You enjoyed going to a dentist?
I enjoyed going, because she was that pleasant. You know, I mean, look.
Wow.
They use Novocaine, so, you know.
Would she straddle you or something? I mean, come on.
What'd she do?
That's when I get a haircut. I put my hand right on, and they rub against my hand.
She sat on me. No, I mean, the thing was that she would never be exactly on time. She'd be about 15, 20 minutes late. So I said, okay, I mean, that's business. You got patients that you have to pay more attention to because something pops up. One day I made an appointment, all right? One day I make an appointment, and I'm there, and I call her. I say I'm going to be late by about half an hour. Her new secretary tells me that I got to pay a fee, and I tell the secretary I'm not paying any fee just because I'm a few minutes late. She says, well, you have to, sir. I say, I'm not. No, I'm not. She gets the dentist, and I tell her, no, I'm not paying any fee, because as many times, I didn't tell her this, but I'm saying as many times as I had to wait 10, 15 minutes for her to get to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They can put up with me being late one time for about 20 minutes to a half an hour.
I tell you what, I've never heard of that before, Joe. It's something. Being late and getting charged. I guess.
No.
Crazy.
Yeah,
no,
not for being late.
No.
Yeah, but not for being late, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Maybe missing the whole appointment and not calling them and costing them money.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
But they're gone.
And they try to pull that shit on me, on the first doctor I had. They tried to, you know, I didn't show up. And they were when I went in the next time, they said, well, you owe for the $45 for the, you missed your appointment. I said, you know how many times I've sat in this frickin' room for an hour and a half waiting to see the doctor? And you think I'm paying $45? You're out of your mind.
That's right.
You're freaking crazy. And that's one I fired because of that, too. I guess my doctor now, I got a 5 o'clock appointment tomorrow, and I'll be the only one in the room.
Yeah.
I'll be
the
only. He doesn't do that. I never. And if there's anybody in the waiting room, they're waiting for a patient. Because this guy and his girls, they don't overbook, and he puts three in a room, me, two other people in a room, and he starts that, and that's it. You're done.
Well, that's good management. But again, I never deprecate doctors and dentists for having, you know, for not showing up on time if you make an appointment, because things pop up. But if you're going to charge, you're going to charge your patients for being late, or even if they miss an appointment. I mean, if they're constantly missing an appointment, you should charge them. But if they miss one time, let it go.
One time.
Let it go.
I figure, and here's what I told them. I said, see all those people out there, you overbooked? Oh, well, you just take one of them and there you go. It's paid for.
That's right.
You got three coming in at 1 o'clock. Don't tell me you don't. And you got three more coming in at 1:15. Don't tell me you don't. And it goes on and on and on like that. I said, I'm not paying nothing.
Good.
Then I went in and I seen him. I fired his ass. You're goddamn crazy. I hate that. I hate waiting. I had to go into work late one time. The guy I fired that forgot me in the room. He didn't forget me, but the gals didn't. Tell him. And John came in. I said, you know, I've been sitting here for 3 freaking hours.
God.
Oh, yeah. They were closed. Hell. They were closed. They were cleaning the freaking rooms. I said, you know, he said, oh, God, I won't charge you. Oh, yeah. I'm going to pay this. I'm going to pay it. I'm going to pay your office call. And you're fired. You work for me. Somehow you goddamn doctors forgot that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's right.
And how I found my doctor, this doctor, is I was bitching like hell at work. Because now I didn't have a doctor, and some guy told me about my doctor now. And I told Scotty and Gene, and they love him. And he's a good doctor.
So it worked out, I mean, in the long run, anyway.
But, Don't you hate these dogs with the God complex? They're always being told thank you no matter what they do. They can screw up, and they're always, thank you, doctor, thank you, doctor. No.
You don't do that. You don't thank no doctor that screws up. Are you nuts?
Right.
You know they're responsible for 200,000. The estimate is 200,000 avoidable mishaps a year. 200,000, including death. And this is done by the doctors themselves. And they say that these are avoidable incidences. In other words, incompetence caused these particular incidences.
Yeah.
There's a lot of there's a lot of surgeons that leave. They leave something in, you know, like
seen the X-ray. They left the not the scalpel, but the scissors. What they call them, have a different.
Oh, I've seen that. I've seen that on the internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
An X-ray of this guy. I think it was a guy took an X-ray, and there's the scissors right there, man.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
did
my.
You hear about the surgeon that took off the wrong leg?
Yeah,
I
heard
did.
About that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
I would. Oh my goodness. I would. I'd just go ahead and die because you're not going to take my other leg if I can do
it. You've got a leg which is visibly either gangrenous or has something wrong with it, but yet you go to the perfectly healthy leg to take it off.
Yeah.
I'd be so freaking, come on. You would own that hospital, but God, would that be worth not walking?
No.
Or dying?
No. You couldn't give me $5 million for my leg?
No. Hell no. Linda wants me to play this. It's are half the people in America this clueless? I don't know what this is. I don't even have a clue. What is it?
Probably.
Oh, yeah. You can bet if it's Mark Dice.
Every year, new words become part of the public lexicon. In the last year or two, it was social distancing and wet market, things like that. So they're added to the dictionary. Other words are taken out of the dictionary that sort of fall out of use. And also that way, the dictionary doesn't grow to be 5,000 pages. So one of the words that they're taking out of the Merriam-Webster dictionary this year is gullible. So
really?
We're just seeing that they say it's kind of fallen out of use, or some people are saying that it's like an ableist slur, kind of along the lines of the R word. So just getting people's comments, is that a good word to take out, or is that still being used, do you think?
I think it's still being used. I don't think it's a good word to take out.
A lot of people are triggered by it. It's kind of been deemed an ableist slur along the sides of.
I don't even know what word he's talking about.
Not very polite to be calling
it
gullible.
It's gullible.
Gullible?
They said they were taking it out. So is that a reasonable reason to make those updates, do you think?
I also have two hearing aids. So.
I got excuses up the ass.
If somebody calls you gullible, that's not going to, offend you or anything?
No.
Because it's obviously not true, in your case.
Yeah, it's not going to offend me.
Okay. So you can understand, though, how some people think it's...
I can see it.
It's an ableist slur, in a sense, along the lines of the R word.
The younger generation.
And so, and part of it is that, and part of it's to, make the dictionary not so heavy and not so many pages, so...
Okay.
A lot of people with a penis get urine all over the toilets, and so they're going to be installing urinals in the women's bathroom for the transgender women who still have a penis but identify as a woman, just to help feel more accommodating for them.
I'm cool with that. Everybody should be comfortable, You got to just let people what they want to do. It's like the incest thing. Not into it, but if people are, that's fine with me. It doesn't affect me. I don't want them to have kids because, there's some biologically messed up stuff, possibly.
So you would approve of the incest marriage then?
I mean, sure. Why not?
So there's nothing wrong with a brother and a sister having sexual relations with each other?
No, they're not going to have kids.
Totally normal?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Just checking. You think the 10% tax break for black people is enough?
Well, it's a start.
It's a start.
It's a start, and I believe that we could go to 15% and then maybe work on some of the other issues that are going on. But I think it's a great gesture
for black people
and the country.
Okay.
To unify us and to be together and think
as
one. Make
us more equal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And again,
connecting white people more.
We need to be more as one. One oneness.
Okay. Yeah.
Whether it's Hispanic, Asian, American, African-American, it doesn't matter, across the board.
Giving a certain race a lower tax bracket, that'll accomplish that goal.
It will help a lot. It really will. Our heart's in the right place. The government's heart is in the right place.
In the right place.
Yeah.
In order to fight sexism and income inequality, we're trying to implement the male privilege tax. We just tax men at a slightly higher rate than the women, but we still need a few more signatures to get that on the ballot. Prince, birth date, and a signature.
Oh, yeah, she's signing.
Obviously, to fight sexism and
the
new world order,
the
privilege tax is the final phase or one of the next steps to fight sexism. I appreciate you supporting that.
The program is called White Privilege Tax?
The White Privilege Tax, just to help out with the income in the minority communities.
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I agree.
You're talking about white privilege in college, right?
Yes. I think, you know, we should definitely be aware of what white privilege is, redistribute to the minorities.
Redistribute white people's income.
Absolutely agree, yes.
This woman's in college, folks.
That's why.
Okay, we were just checking. Do you think that would be good for the communities?
Yeah, I think it'd be good for the community if it's done the right way.
Privilege tax the right way.
It's got to be done the right way.
Done the right way.
Yeah.
Now Mount Rushmore is being taken down, deconstructed. You think that's the right decision? Should we tear down the racist, white supremacist Mount Rushmore monument to continue eradicating these symbols of racism?
Absolutely.
Oh,
racism is bullshit, as well as gay marriage not being legalized. It's now legal in 50 states, and I think the racism thing is...
Do you think maybe we should replace Mount Rushmore with some...
positive, historic...
with some homosexuals?
Possibly, or even anti-racist anything.
Okay. Congress has issued a couple designs for a new American flag.
Yeah, unfortunately.
The old flag, a lot of people think it kind of still represents racism like the Confederate flag does. So a lot of Black Lives Matter have been calling for a new American flag. So the Congress has issued a couple possible new designs for the New World Order. Do you think it's time we need to... American flag for the new world order?
Just for a new beginning.
For a new beginning for America?
Yeah.
The old stars and stripes, a little too offensive, you think?
Yeah, give it a good change, just like other countries.
Okay.
So
after the revolution, a new American flag, you think, after the revolution?
Yeah, we might have a better start.
Do you think helping to end women's suffrage is a good cause for them to be a part of?
Oh, yeah.
Anything Beyonce can do to end women's suffrage probably will help out, you think?
Yeah, I think she'd be good with that, too, because everybody looks up to her. So I think she'd do good in something like that.
And with the women's suffrage, probably about time we do that with the way things are going, right?
Yeah, I think it'll be soon.
To help the transgender community, they're going to be installing one urinal per women's bathroom at the public facilities and in the public schools. Let's get people's comments to this historic news.
I think it's awesome.
To make sure everybody feels as well
comfortable and
the transgender women who still have a penis can use the proper facilities in the women's bathroom without getting pee all over the seats for the other
women. Right.
Progressively.
Yeah, definitely.
Probably a little overdue, some people are saying, should have been done, but it's the next phase for freedom.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think it's really, really awesome.
Yeah, what was I saying before about the American people?
And get a cleaner butt?
Folks, let's say this is your sphincter. Now, this is your sphincter on TV. You call that clean?
Jesus Christ. They play anything. Okay, we're done with that. Okay, we're done with that. That's when somebody should jump in.
Bom, 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 bom.
Dang, dang, dang,
dang, dang, dang, dang, dang, blue moon. Blue moon,
oh man, we are a sick bunch of people. We are. I hope nobody hears that mess.
So what did they do with the lake when they found out the USOs were underneath? Did they do anything? Was anything revealed?
That's the ones that got blown up to the surface, remember?
Yeah, but I mean, what else happened after that?
Did they go back?
Yeah.
Do you know?
No, I don't know if they went back. I doubt that very much.
Surely they would. Don't
y'all
think?
Oh, yeah, they'd have to.
The Russians anyways.
I don't know. I don't know.
You find out six of your people got the bend by being blown up to the surface.
Yeah.
I think I want to investigate.
Yeah, I don't think. I'll let that slide because three of them died. And I don't think I would want to do that.
Hey, I've got a question.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's only after this cold water story that we're talking about.
Okay,
so the Sasquatches, most of them, sounds like, and I've also heard that the Pleiadians that are on Earth live in amongst the Arctic Circle and the Antarctic. Why are they in the coldest regions of our Earth? Well, they're obviously flying around everywhere, but where they live,
when
it's where we just don't go there.
Well, maybe
now,
they have a base down there, and they take their ship, whatever in the hell it, you know, spaceship, and you probably have to drive it on into something, and they close up something, maybe suck the water out, and get out of their capsule. I don't know. I have no idea. How they do that.
It just seems like they stick to the cold regions of the Earth.
They want to go where nobody else is.
Yeah, that would make perfect sense. More peace. Hmm. They don't have to fight over land or anything. We're not trying to live there.
Yeah, and they can plant their destruction of the planet.
Like the Draconian.
Yeah, I would like this Federation to come in and stop the people who are terraforming the planet.
They are helping us to rid the Earth of the Draconians as of right now.
Yeah, well, that would be a good thing.
I talked about, and this was 6 months ago, but how the way the Federation works, they don't just come and help you, you know, out of the kindness of their heart. You have to either ask them, or they will come and help you if you've been besieged by, if you've been taken over by somebody, your planet, they have the right to go in there if they choose to and make it right. But with Americans, what was that guy from, Venus, Mercury Venus, from Venus, something Bob, Valiant Bob, who came and stayed with the CIA, worked with the CIA for 13 years back in the 60s. And he said the reason he left, and he told him he was going to leave, you know, whatever, he said, "You people are going to destroy yourselves." He said, "We're here to help you rid the world of nuclear bombs and stuff like that, and we refuse to even, you know, barter with him, even talk to him about it. Yes, we need help. We don't want Russia having them. We don't want to have them. But at the time, I can understand somewhat. You know, we were in a Cold War. The Bay of Pigs was coming up.
Yeah.
But if there were no nuclear bombs at all, it would be great. And that's what they've done. They've disarmed, I heard this, it seemed like from that Galactic Talk channel, the species, one of the good species. There's like 14 species on Earth, and I think two to four of them are bad.
Mm-hmm.
The rest are here to help.
Mm-hmm.
And they have helped by disarming all nuclear plants, but nuclear warheads. You don't have a nuclear warhead just because you have a nuclear plant. That ain't the way it works.
I heard that they hovered over the nuclear sites, disarmed them for about a half an hour, then let them come back online again.
Yeah, that was back in the, Donnie, when was it? I mean, yeah, that they have shown us that they are capable, like 50 years ago, of doing it.
Mm.
But now they've done it. I mean, if you really just think about it, you know, there's been really no talk. There's the propaganda's out that Putin's going to use nuclear this. No, he's not. Are you stupid? There's going to be no nuclear war. It's over with. It's over with. The nuclear age is gone.
We came close to destruction years ago, back in the 70s. No, back in the 60s. There was one Russian who disobeyed orders, and I think there was an American who disobeyed orders as well.
Mm-hmm.
They were told, okay, this message is top secret. It comes mm-hmm. from the president. Fire the missiles. And one Russian colonel, he wouldn't do it. He actually disobeyed orders to actually get verification. And
yeah.
he found out that the verification was a mistake.
Oh, my God.
So he didn't employ the missiles. Otherwise, 1963 would have been the end of the Earth.
Could have been. Could have been. To me, it just depends on, like I said, these people are watching us, these aliens, extraterrestrials, whatever, that they say you could line up ship to ship, you know, stern to bow, whatever, up in space, and it would at least reach the sun from here. That's how many ships are just floating around cloaked in our outside of our atmosphere watching us and in our galaxy.
Well, like I say, we could either be the only ones in the entire universe, or there could be many, many, many other life forms, because we have so many
yes.
stars and galaxies. It's
right.
that's very
right.
reasonable to assume that there would have to be other civilizations.
That's right.
I agree.
And y'all have looked it up as much as I have, and y'all have seen, like, Planet X30 and Planet this and that. These are real planets that our NASA, who lies all the time, has discovered, you know, but don't tell us nothing about it. They're like, yeah, it's an Earth-like planet. That means we could live there.
Yeah.
Well, we could live there. Somebody's living there.
Yeah.
I played Buzz Aldrin earlier. He admitted there was a UFO, but he knew he couldn't say it over the channel because ham radio and TV stations were listening to everything
yeah.
they did. So he went to the medical channel and told them what was going on.
See, I mean, that's just everything right there. That's all you need to know.
Do you guys remember the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still?
Yes.
I like the premise where an alien from, you know, another galaxy or perhaps another part of the universe, and they come in and they're warning us. They're saying to us, we are dangerous, to the rest
yeah.
of the galaxy, and if we don't change our ways, it's elimination time.
Yeah, right.
I like
not
that.
Right.
Not for a damn before.
I mean, yeah, that's something that I would be in favor of if I knew there was a planet in our galaxy, right? That if they got to warp speed, they left their planet, were warlike like we were, And
right.
We knew that if they were going to go to other planets, that they would start spreading around their destruction. I would be in favor of destroying that planet.
That is what these draconians have done throughout the years. Millions of years.
I thought, were they the good guys or the bad guys?
The Drax are the lizards.
Oh, okay.
Bad guys.
Hmm.
They're the ones that the Cabal has teamed up with throughout all these years, reason for all the deep underground military bases, or a lot of them anyways.
Hmm.
They brought the technology, a lot of it, and the globalists have the technology, which we have now. We've taken it from them.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you guys believe people are getting abducted?
Yes.
Okay. I believe it's possible. I mean, I know, like I told you guys a couple, last week, I'm of the opinion now that aliens have to be on the planet because of what they're doing to the atmosphere. So if aliens are here, then abduction seems to me to be a possibility.
Well, yeah. Here's a brother and sister on Oprah Winfrey's show. It's 6 minutes long, and they said they were taken by aliens.
Speaking today with Harvard University psychiatrist John Mack, who studied the cases of about 100 people, at least, who claimed that they've been abducted by aliens. One of Dr. Mack's patients, Randy, here says his abduction occurred while he was awake. He is here with his sister, Glinda, who says she, too, has been abducted since childhood. Since what age do you remember?
5 years old.
And at 5 years old, what happened? So some of what Dr. Mack described earlier here?
Right. I had a conscious, I consciously remembered my experience when I was 5.
Mm-hmm.
But I had bits of it that were missing. And what I remember is that through my wall came some beings around my bed. And I ran between them and ran out of the room into my mother's room to hide from them. They followed me in there, and that's the last I remember of it. However, it's interesting because after that, I never told anybody about that, and I just buried it in the back of my mind. And me and my brother, we never even spoke about it until the last few years.
Why, Randy?
I first told my mom and dad when I was 10 years old, something happened, and I told my mom and dad.
Do you remember when he told you? You're Randy's mom. What did he tell you? Stand up, please.
Back about a couple years ago, my daughter was living at a distance away from home, and she had picked up the book Communion.
Uh-huh.
And she said it disturbed her. Trying to get a connection.
Which daughter, Glinda?
Glindy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I read the book, and my son happened to walk in for dinner, and my husband and I were both there, and I said, Jesus, this is so stirring. And he said, don't you remember when I was 10 years old? And it was like it was put way in the back of our mind. And we both said, oh, yeah. And we remember him coming up to our room
and saying
there was a spaceship outside, and there were little guys around his bed, and they put the dog to sleep. Which sounds bizarre. Now,
a little bit more than bizarre. Yeah.
Yeah. But,
very bizarre.
But so my husband went outside.
So when he told you at 10, you said, yeah, right, honey?